Shazam there, and we go live, and then things are crackling, and then people are talking and everybody's listening. What the fuck? No one's telling us what to say. We could just do it. All right.
Have we started? Say
so. Right now, we're starting right now. Just for a second.
Have we started? Say so. Right now, we're starting.
Weird. The Joe Rogan Experience podcast is brought to you by the Fleshlight. If you go to joerogan.net and click on the link for the Fleshlight and then use the code name Rogan, you will save yourself 15% off. So you will not just shoot your little loads that you're trying to get rid of, you'll save yourself a little bit of money.
I used mine the other day. Remember I told you, you said save it for the podcast. I just was sitting in my man cave and I was like, I think I'm going to fuck my Fleshlight.
Wow.
And I looked at it and it was just sitting there like, what are you doing? And I was like, what are you doing? Like, it was such a neat, like, you know, that's the thing. Enjoy it. When you take it on like the road with you for a weekend, you feel like it's a whore. Like,
you take it on the road with you?
I have. And just fuck it like a Chechen whore at the bottom of a coal mine. Just fucking, oh, that was a great analogy.
Yeah, it was great.
It's a little too good. I don't think women are very comfortable with it. It's a little too effective. And by the way, this is just the beginning. I mean, technology is going to improve, right? 200 years ago, we didn't have a car. And now we have a Fleshlight.
What would this be, the technology of Fleshlight, do you think?
It's a robot fuck doll.
You think?
Yeah, for sure.
It's going to be
something that like acts like the hottest porn star alive, but only exists to fuck. You know, like you shut it off. But when you turn it on, it looks like a person and it wants to fuck. I mean, it's really creepy to us, but we have to assume that we're not a perfect being. The human being's not perfect, right? It's not
at all.
It's not done being evolved. It's just a step along the way, just like monkeys were a step along the way, just like turtles are a step along the way. This thing is still trying to advance and improve, right? So you got to accept the fact that that's a part of the equation. Part of the equation is we're gonna duplicate.
I forgot this analogy was about jacking off.
Yeah, we're going to duplicate bodies. We're going to duplicate them and fuck them. I just sometimes you don't want all the extra hassle that comes with dealing with a person. You know, you just want to be able to get rid of some loads. And if you could have like a fake person, like that could even make out with you and stuff, like a fake person. It's creepy though, because the idea is like, well, what is that? Is this Blade Runner? I mean, is this like some sort of human slavery? Do you really wish you had a real person? What if this inspires people to actually get real slaves?
Right.
You know,
and then, dude had that. That guy had that girl trapped under his bed and he was married. He made her sleep under his bed. Have you ever seen that thing?
Yeah, where was that? Where the fuck was that?
Until she was like 18. She could like go to the mall with them and shit, and then she slept under the bed and they just fucking did crazy shit to her.
Wow.
But it's that Stockholm syndrome. Is that right? Stockholm syndrome? Yeah. Where you believe that your captor is helping you out. So I've been in relationships like that.
The robot fuck girl will start off with a mouth, and then like as technology gets better, the mouth will get smaller and smaller and smaller, and then it would be no mouth.
Why would you say that? Because she can talk?
I think Brian's
like just not like blowjobs. I think
Brian's going through some issues in his current relationship.
Anyway, we're also brought to you by Onnit.com, makers of Alpha Brain, Trum Tech Immune, Trum Tech Sport, and New Mood. All these things are nootropics, and the other ones are performance-enhancing substances.
What's the 5-HTP one?
It's called New Mood.
I swear by that 100%, and you're talking about a guy that has obsessive-compulsive and anxiety issues. I swear by that. When I start spiraling, I go for that instead of Xanax, and that is a bold fucking statement.
Well, it's legit, man. What it does is it boosts your brain's ability to make serotonin. It gives you the building blocks for serotonin, and L-tryptophan converts to 5-HTP, so that's in there as well. So it's got a sort of a time-release effect to it. It's a very effective supplement, and it's not something you have to worry about. If you're fascinated by any of this stuff, what they are is called nootropics. What nootropic is, nootropic, and Google that and read some information, because it's a very controversial subject. I believe in nootropics. I'm a big believer in vitamins and supplements and eating healthy. And I have always been interested in taking the best fuel for my body. And in my belief, the best fuel for your brain has been mapped out. They're called nootropics. And Alpha Brain is the best combination of these nootropics that we know how to make. So it's the highest class ingredients. And we also make sure that there is a 100% money-back guarantee on your first order of 30. We need, like, a cough button or some shit.
I just turned down my volume.
that was the most aggressive
UFC,
fucking sneeze.
In the UFC, I have a button. Right. In the UFC, I have, like, a button. So if I have the sneeze or anything, I'm going to clear my throat. I have a button. We should probably install those things, right?
We should just have a signal like you point to me,
or we just sneeze.
No, that's not a really good idea.
I think we just sneeze.
Yeah,
just, whatever.
Yeah,
what the fuck? It's a big deal. Anyway, go to joerogan.net, click on the link for Alpha Brain, enter in the code name Rogan, and you can save yourself 10% off any and all orders. And what I was saying earlier, we have 100% money-back guarantee on the order of first order of 30 pills. So when you take something, if you try it and you're like, this is not worth it, this is bullshit, you don't even have to return the product. It's 100% money-back guarantee. We're trying to make it as fair as possible while selling you stuff that I absolutely believe in. All right.
Hey, can I get some of that shroom tech from you?
Fuck yeah, son.
Okay.
I got a lot of shit for you.
Nice.
Got some Alpha Brain, too. Mix it up with the champagne.
We're celebrating, Joe Rogan.
Powerful Bert Kreischer's here, ladies and gentlemen. Strap the fuck in.
Joe Rogan Podcast. Check it out.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Dream by day, Joe Rogan Podcast by night. All day.
Powerful Bert Kreischer.
I'm planning mine. I'm gonna try to match Nick Diaz on the biggest stage possible. Like whether it be Letterman, like just slide it in. But I want to make it I want to make it awkward. Like Joe Rogan Podcast, but hey, Nick Diaz at night. I mean, never mind. Oh shit. Nick Diaz at night. Man, fucking Kalel Sonnen.
Chael Sonnen.
That dude is a motherfucker.
Yeah.
I've never been sold to an entity.
Yeah,
he could lead me into war.
He's a fascinating dude. He's a fascinating guy. You know when it was really intense when he was talking about how he was willing to fight him in Brazil.
Yes,
and that he knew that if he beat him in Brazil in front of 80,000 people, like they were going to want his head.
What did he say about the Brazilians?
Well, you know, I mean, he said a lot of shit. He's insulted Nogueira, who's Anderson Silva's jiu-jitsu trainer and a famous mixed martial arts fighter, a former Pride champion, and one of the all-time greats. It's like, it would be like insulting Muhammad Ali or something along those lines, or I wouldn't say Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard or something. You know what I mean? It's like,
because
he's not like a political figure.
Do you ever hear Patrice O'Neill's joke about Michael J. Fox?
No.
That was my favorite.
What is that?
I'm watching Michael J. Fox on a news conference about Parkinson's, and this motherfucker's trying to outshake the champ. How you gonna outshake the champ? Muhammad's trying to catch up, but he's like, I got you, Muhammad. Patrice was a genius.
Oh, he was so funny.
God, he's a fucking funny motherfucker. So anyway, back to Chael Sonnen.
He was so funny.
Here you go, Brian.
Chael Sonnen, he insulted Minotauro Nogueira, who, like I said, is a great champion, and, you know, in Brazil, he's like, he's a fucking hero, you know, and he insulted his jiu-jitsu, and it was a lot of negative things that he said about Brazilians, and so they fucking hate him, and people don't realize how, like, nationalistic Brazilians are, man.
I got that from that podcast that I was like...
They take it to the next level. I've never been in a crowd that's so nationalistic, that was so wanted the Brazilian fighters to win and fucking hated when the foreign fighters won.
Really?
Yeah, only one foreign fighter won. Mike Kyle was the only guy who won that night. And there were some fucking scraps. I'm telling you, the energy in the crowd is just so intense. They love fighting in Brazil. They fucking love it, man. But very respectful people, very nice people, very friendly. You know, it's not like there's a bunch of thugs going around. Like, everywhere you go, people are pretty chilled and laid back. It's a beautiful country,
man. I'd like to go.
It's great.
But probably never going to happen.
You could go with me. You want to go with me?
Fucking in.
Okay.
I'm done.
Why do you think it's not going to happen? You travel like every fucking week. You're about to go to Scotland.
There's a UFC in Brazil in June.
I'm in.
Take you with me.
I'm in.
All right.
I mean, if it fits in my fucking schedule. My schedule is chaotic.
We'll see.
Yeah. I'm in. I'd love to do that. I'd love to go to fucking Brazil. Do you know how fucking wild that would get?
You know what? It's crazy, man, when you just look out over the ocean, and you just, like the view that they have, like especially in Rio, it's like they're like so connected to nature. You know what I mean? Like, they're completely connected to nature. I mean, you look at how Rio is with the favelas and the hills and the city at the bottom and the oceans right there. And the way you look at it, it's like, man, they're constantly reminded by nature.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that a lot of places in America just don't have. New York doesn't really have that. You see mostly buildings. You see mostly shit that we made. There's something about being in the presence of something like mountains and ocean where it just makes you go, shit.
Or even just like wind. Like, I went to the top of Mount Washington, and the winds were like 110 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And you were up there, and you literally, man, my heart sunk out of my asshole. I was like, I could be lifted off this mountain by God. Just see ya, Bert.
Dude, could you fucking imagine? That's happened before. People have been taken off the sides of cliffs.
Fuck yes.
Fuck yeah, they have. Dude, cars get tripped over by wind.
Yeah, hold on. So what you're telling me, when I'm driving down the street and I feel my car getting pushed by wind,
it's totally possible
that there are cars that have. Because I always go, it'll never happen.
In huge storms, of course.
Semis, awesome.
Hurricanes, yeah. Well, you know, in Dallas, the last tornado, man, there were semis that were flying in the air. You didn't see that?
No, I did not.
Oh my God, dude, that was just this year. This year in Dallas. Have you seen it? Pull up the video, man. You got to show it to him because it's just so.
They have a video of a.
It's so hard to look at. It's just to try to wrap your mind around something that could take a semi and float it in the air.
Something that you can't see.
An 18-wheeler truck. It's invisible and it's floating this fucking semi in the air. And the only reason why it's visible at all is because it's got a swarm of shit that it's carrying. It's circling around. It's got a swarm of shit inside of it.
Fuck.
God damn it, that's scary.
What do you do in that situation? You get pulled up in the wind.
Is there anything scarier than seeing that funnel cloud? Just knowing there's nothing that can stop it.
But that thought where you go, there's no way this is going to get me.
Look at that, dude. Trees flying through the air. Those, can you see that?
Fucking that's semi?
Several semis, bro. Curling,
twirling around in the sky and then dropping down from at least 50 feet high down into the ground.
Are you
look at that, dude. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that.
Fucking spinning
down it comes, bang, lands on its
oh my right down at the God.
Big piece of
look at that. Those are semis.
Semis, dude.
So certainly we have
those are 18 wheelers, man.
On the south side of Dallas, still within parts of
look at that! Holy shit! There's like three of them. It's juggling semis.
Those are light poles. Those are light poles that are standing up. The semis are like, holy shit!
Look at that fucking thing, man.
Around the Mesquite area, just to the west of Mesquite. And east
it's
of
so Dallas, weird that we are so, like, so, you know, nonchalant about these things, about tornadoes, and living in the, just even the remote possibility that a tornado might hit your area. Like, shouldn't you factor that into where you fucking live?
Everything you do. That should be factored. You should have definite escape plans into a cellar. Like, you shouldn't just be like, well, if it comes, let's just hope.
Did you ever see that Joplin, Missouri footage where they showed the before and after? I believe it was Joplin, Missouri. It was a town that was literally erased. Literally erased.
No.
The tornadoes come, and the scary thing is they can come in the middle of the night, man. They can come in the middle of the night. So you have to have, like, tornado warnings. So someone's got to be paying attention. And they got to blow horns. And then you got to get in your basement while the monster made out of wind rips your house apart.
Fuck.
Like, dude, they had entire communities just vanished. They completely vanished down to the foundation. It's like if that was
from
a
wind.
If that was a werewolf that was doing that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The big bad wolf that wants to huff and puff and blow to your house down, you'd be like, we gotta kill that fucking thing. We gotta get away from where it lives. We can't, you know, but instead of it being a werewolf,
we need an escape plan.
It's a wind monster, and we just sort of accept it.
And you live in the path of a fucking werewolf.
It's a wind monster, man. It's a god. It's Thor. You know, it's ripping houses apart. It's a god. I mean, no wonder why storms, you know, when the, you know, people were savages, they thought it was the anger of the gods. You know, no wonder why. Could you imagine? You don't know where it's coming. You
probably
imagine something
is.
Like Katrina, where you don't know when it's coming? Yeah, well, maybe it is. Maybe it's a reaction. Maybe it's a reaction
of us being disrespectful.
Well, it's maybe a reaction just to the biological, the sheer size of the biological entities of the human race. You know, the massive amount of waste that we put out. And if that makes it global warming, and if that really does pick up the intensity of storms, I know all that shit's debated. I don't know if that's true or not. Whether or not, I mean, people have tried to make that connection between human beings, global warming, and the acceleration of these big storms, but I don't know where the status of that is, so I don't want to speak to that. But
it's negative energy all collected.
But what? How weird would it be if we found out it was true? If that we found out that once people get to a certain fever pitch, you know, the Earth just has a response of these big gusts of wind monsters to sort of like shut everybody the fuck up. Why is it so fucking warm over here?
If we were all hippies, it would just be sunny everywhere, sunny and beautiful.
Yeah, can you imagine if that's what it is? It's like God's death squad is the tornadoes, and God just sends them down every now and then. Please get these cunts off my planet.
And you just hear Joey Diaz going, listen, cocksuckers.
It's just a thing where, you know, God created people, but people just figured out how to get way too good at some shit.
Yeah.
And way too quickly. And it's the race between it, nature trying to squash us and us trying to transcend being human.
That's a fucking bizarre concept.
It's the race. It's the race right now. That's the race. It's between us coming up with some sort of technology that lifts us out of our monkey existence, or the Earth swallowing us up in a super volcano.
Fuck.
That's some good champagne.
That's a great champagne. That's fucking...
What are we celebrating?
Yeah. We're celebrating... Hold on. Let's wrap this up, because my mind's a little fucking blown.
Okay.
That fucking concept is like... Is bizarre. The fucking God is just... It's
ridiculous, really. It's just weather.
No! All right. So the reason I brought the champagne...
I mean, I'm going to say it, but if nature was a system, and if, like, you know, certain things got too high, like human waste, if human waste caused a certain amount of disease, which it does, you know, if things where we fuck things up cause a certain amount of death, it's almost like
cancer with sex.
You lost me, fella.
Yeah.
No, like, if you have sex, then that's the planet's way of getting back. Like, stop having sex. Didn't you read the fucking Bible? We're going to make cancer. So if you stop having... Never mind. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
This is...
Oh, my God. I think I kind of...
You know, get what, you know, I mean? Like, what if it was connected cancer, the worst thing in the world, connected with the best thing in the world? Kind of like the same kind of karma thing.
Right. See, what happens when you get high is that... this is what I think. Is that you have a paragraph in your head that is very well thought out. But all you can piece together are like five words out of that paragraph, and your brain scrambles and picks the five best ones.
And the worst is when you're halfway into the paragraph and you go, what the fuck am I even talking about?
It is the worst. That's what you usually you would cut that out if it was a normal thing.
Oh, yeah, it's a normal thing.
Oh.
You know how awesome I would look, and you would look, and we would all look if we edited all these things in like the best hour?
Wait, like fucking rock stars. Definitely rock you, stars. Brian.
Brad's like, edit that.
Edit that. I fucking, those best of the Brian clips on YouTube
hilarious.
Make me laugh so fucking hard, because there's something, I'm very similar to Brian in a lot of ways, is that, like, I think we're both very childish. We both have like a very child heart. And so I hear some of those things, and I can tell when he's trying to be funny, I can tell when he's trying to be serious. I fucking laughed in a hotel room bed for an hour just watching it over and over again.
Yeah, they're pretty ridiculous. If you call out all the best moments, you know.
The best, my favorite one is when he goes, my dad has magic glasses. You can see, one can see up close, and one, and then I'm listening, and I go, they're called bifocals, asshole.
Benjamin Franklin had them business.
My dad, when I was back in Ohio, bought one of those things where it's a belt that goes around really, really fast, and it has like these metal prongs that just hover over the belt, the rubber belt, so it collects electricity. And then you put this little dome on it, and the electricity then collects inside the dome, and it gets off, I think it's 20,000 volts of electricity it makes, or something like that.
Is this a quiz?
And so he's showing this to me, and this is what he's doing on his free time. He's like, look, he has all these batteries like lined up and these wires. He's like, I'm trying to have the electricity conduct in copper wires. And he's like explaining like this whole, and he's like, if I could figure this out, we're going to be billionaires. And I'm like, what? And then he goes, watch what happens when I turn off the light. And he takes a metal hammer with a rubber thing, and he just holds it out, the thing, and the electricity just starts shooting towards the hammer. And then in between, you know, the part where you pull out nails, like the little V thing, just electricity is going back and forth really, really fast. And it's like, I was like, Dad, what the fuck? You need to start smoking weed, because this is really cool if you were high, just going into this little fucking thing.
But he's got to wear a dome over his head?
No, he just holds onto the rubber of the
Didn't
hammer.
You get your dad baked? Didn't you get your dad high on edibles?
No, it was weed pop soda.
Weed soda.
Yeah, he didn't know.
He didn't know? No. You dosed him?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Shut up. Dude.
I have it on video also somewhere.
Why did you dose your dad?
Because I wanted to see what would happen.
Oh my God. Motherfucker. Oh my God.
And you know what happened? He became very giggly and laughing and happy, and it was really cute, and I've never told him about it, but I have it on video. And maybe
Wouldn't you tell him? Wouldn't you tell him?
Because, you know, it was like, I don't know. I didn't, because I wanted it, because he was hanging out at my house in California. He was in town for work, and I only got to see him one night, and he was hanging out with us, he likes to drink. He likes to have a couple drinks.
So he was having cocktails.
Cocktails.
It wasn't out of the blue.
Right. He was having fun, and then so we were all sitting around, and I think you or somebody gave me a bottle, this huge.
Don't blame me, bitch.
This huge champagne bottle.
You did it.
It looked like a champagne bottle, but it was soda pop. And so I poured a glass and Katie poured a glass, and I was like, Dad, do you want some of this? And like I said it kind of like, I don't know if he knows what this is, but he's like, sure, I'll have some of that. And I'm like, okay. And then I just gave it to him. It started off with, you know, my dad was just, you know, talking like he usually does, you know, about how to, you know, break perpetual motion or whatever he always talks about. And then he just became giggly and happy. And it was just like shitty grin the whole time. It's so great.
Why wouldn't you tell him about this?
I don't know.
I guess that is like a big.
Yeah, but it seems like he enjoyed it.
Yeah, I know.
I think it seems like.
Yeah, but he has a real job. He would have got drug tested. He would have got fired from his job.
What the fuck, man? Why'd you dose up your dad? Can you imagine he gets drug tested and you're like, I swear, I've never smoked pot in my life. Well, according to your hair follicles, Mr. Michael, 3 weeks ago, you were higher than fuck.
It was a long time ago.
I could never dose my dad. My dad would fucking. Oh.
Why? I just don't know why you wouldn't just tell him.
Yeah, I know. I will one day when I get.
Listen, this is an unhealthy relationship.
When weed becomes legal in Ohio, I will tell.
Oh, that's so crazy. Can't imagine my dad high.
So, like 5 years, I'll tell him 5 years.
That's so crazy, dude. Just tell him.
I will.
Tell him what happened.
Yeah. Or better yet, guys, if you're listening and you know Brian, tell him.
No, don't say that.
Don't do that. Let me tell him so I can videotape it at least.
Oh, Jesus. What the fuck did your dad do to you when you were young that you want to torture him like this?
He made me look at his inventions and machines.
Your dad
for
was
hours and hours on end. I just sat there and watched.
That's what you did.
Wires, yeah. Like there's a picture of me like on a old school computer. I don't know if you ever seen me tweet it or whatever. And I'm just like playing on this old like I don't know what it was machine. And that's pretty much what I did. Like every night, I would go downstairs and watch my dad try to invent crazy shit and fix things. Like he was one of those guys that you could give him anything and he would fix it, like anything. Wow. like you give him a TV, you give him a fucking car, he'll take apart the car and figure out what's wrong with it and rebuild. Like if that part isn't made anymore, he would build that part. And it's crazy, dude.
Sounds like your dad might like meth better.
Yeah, I know, right?
Meth would be a fun drug for your dad. He could
Adderall.
Some fucking
ideas. My dad on Adderall.
Brian, I reworked the fork.
Like close some shit down, right?
Man, Adderall fucking works. Like I love those. Like
this dude got an Adderall and went on a rage.
Who did, Brian?
Brian went on an Adderall rage.
I actually have my dad showing his computer machine. You can hear how he talks. It's fucking crazy.
I'd love to hear it.
All right, let's listen to my dad talk about it. This is him going into his workshop, explaining his electricity machine.
Should you be giving this stuff out on the air?
Sure.
I mean, is this like a patent or anything that your dad's working on?
Light comes on and that. This is a Vandegraaff generator. Now, this hammer still shocks me, so I use this one with a leather handle. Anything sharp like this, it doesn't spark to it, like a lightning rod, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Let me turn the light off. That thing won't probably work in the dark.
Oh my God, your dad's like Mr. Science.
Yeah.
Now you have to get your eyes used to the dark.
It was so scary because you can't see in the video, but there's like blue lightning bolts
flying. See
the sparks
between there? See the glow come over to the hammer?
I hear you're uninterested. Yeah.
What people don't understand is this is in the dark, okay? He's showing us his skin. He's got it's like a like one of those Tesla machines. Is that
yeah,
what it's, like?
It's something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got one of his Tesla machines. He's got it's not a big laboratory either.
No, it's a little workspace that he built the other day recently. Jesus, he built the whole thing. He just like tore down like the side of his house like with a sledgehammer and built this humongous workshop for him.
Really?
And the other day he's like, I'm gonna buy a new car. So he bought a new car. So he extended his garage by two cars.
Jesus Christ.
Your parents still married?
No, they're divorced. But he's been remarried for like, I don't know, 15, 20 years or something like that.
That's a lot like you, I guess. Like you like that. You like to figure shit out.
Yeah, he pretty much, if there was computers when he was my age, he would be doing the same thing with computers.
Do you think that out. What you, like, your creativity with computers and that, you know, just your
100%.
Interest all from your
100%.
Dad? Really? Wow, that's amazing. Isn't it how that can be translated? You ever met like the children of singers who can just naturally sing?
Oh yeah. Fuck yeah. My kids are naturally, like, I genuinely say my kids are naturally funny.
Really?
Oh, 100%. Like my kids are like, they make other people laugh. Like
how old are your kids?
5 and 7. And wow. They're fucking funny. I don't
do
know.
You think it's from being around you, being around a comic, or do you think it's genetics?
I think two things. I think one is being around me, and I'm constantly lighthearted, and I always fucking, my goal for everything is laughter about everything. And then I think also that I have a group of friends that run through my house that my kids have been around, and they try to make them laugh. And I think that takes up to, you know, it's like, look, if you're sitting in a Baptist church, and nothing against Baptist people at all, but if you're sitting in a Baptist church, you're trying to make the Baptist preacher laugh, it's a pretty easy laugh. You don't really, isn't that right? Good job. Like, but it's not like a cultivated, like, sense of humor. But when you got Tom Segura sitting on the couch and he's drinking beers and my kids are trying to make him laugh, they come up with some funny fucking shit. My daughter, this is going to sound like a lie because I'm just telling you this. Yesterday, this is maybe the hardest I've ever laughed at my youngest daughter. My wife is trying to brag on the fact that her and my youngest daughter, who are having problems with developmentally, she's not retarded, but that sounds horrible too. Fuck, I shouldn't be talking. But she's emotionally, she's a very wild kid. She's a spirited child.
Okay.
So my wife's trying to brag on her to a stranger. I swear to God right now. Okay. My wife goes, Isla and I have been playing cooties. And this lady, Kathy, is sitting right there. Really? And she goes, yeah. And Isla, what do we say when we lose the turn on cooties? And Isla, without missing a beat, goes, fuck your mother. And I fucking fell apart laughing. And my wife goes, no, no, no. And I'm laughing so hard. Isla's going, fuck your mother. Fuck your mother. She goes, and Isla goes, no. We say, my wife's going, no. We say, gosh darn it. Gosh darn it. Dag nub it. Like, and Isla goes, and then Isla just, then because she knows she's got to laugh, she fucking, everything's right. Fuck your mother that day. 5 years old, fuck your mother. I fucking, and I have, and I swear to you, on both of my children's life, that is exactly what happened. And Leanne was like, I don't know where she heard that. I was like, someone said it.
That's funny, isn't it? That's the big concern amongst people that are raising children, is your kids learning how to swear and swearing, and that being a sign of bad parenting.
I'm a horrible parent then.
It's so foolish. It's so foolish. The idea that you're going to exclude certain words, and that somehow or another, this excluding of certain words is going to make people behave differently?
Yeah.
Is it really? Cunts are going to be cunts. It is what it is. You can't change things by removing fucks. And, you know, like if little kids say fuck, it's funny. It's really bad. It's bad if you overfuck. You know, if you're talking to a guy, it's like, this fucking guy with his fucking thing told the fucking guy. After a while, you're like, dude, you're killing my head. Like, the way you're communicating is bizarre. It's not,
yeah.
It's not comfortable. I'm not receiving your information very comfortably. But just the occasional use of the word that you want to use in the right place. I mean, there's a reason why those words exist. Just because some folks aren't that good at using all the colors to paint with, it doesn't mean that those words should be excluded. So I always get offended when people say that your kids shouldn't swear. Because I'm like, really? You know, when is this going to stop? When is this nonsense of bad words going to stop?
Well, if you started off young, then it would never be a big deal, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly. Like, there's a reason why in European countries, a lot of kids get to drink
and smoke.
In the house.
I was just in Italy, and they were talking about this all of them are like, well, it's not a big deal in our house. Yeah. I can have wine if I want. So why would I care about getting fucked up?
Yeah. They don't have as many issues. I think a lot of our issues with things that people have, like as far as obsessive compulsive issues or addictive issues, I think it's just a little game that your brain plays. When you can't get something, then you get it and you shouldn't have it and then you want it. I think it's just this weird seesaw thing that your brain can play. And part of that, one of the triggers of that is suppressing people. So look, when we all know this. We all knew this growing up. Who were the sluttiest girls? Catholic school girls.
Fuck,
I was going to say black, but...
When I was growing up, the sluttiest girls were the girls that actually had to go to the Catholic school.
Fuck,
they had to go to, like, all-girls schools.
The academy was where our girls went.
They suppressed the shit out of these girls, man. They made them wear these little dresses, and they told them to stay away from boys. And I remember I dated two different girls that went to Catholic school, and they were both fucking freaks.
Like, and when you're that age, when you get introduced to a freak that way, it blows your fucking mind.
They just couldn't wait to get a hold of some dick, because they were just told to stay away, stay away, stay away. Like, they don't realize what they're creating in those women. And plus, it's like those, it's all those savage bloodlines. It's all Irish and Italian and all these, you know, people in the Catholic school. Those are savage bloodlines, man. Those are bloodlines of, you know, people that have been cutting people with swords for thousands of years, you know? It's an old European
Cuban.
Bloodline.
Ours was Cuban. That was all Catholic girls' schools were Cuban.
Yeah, gonna keep them away from dick.
Dude, I remember this chick Shannon. Ninth grade, start dating her. I go to her house, Catholic, from academy, and I go to her house for a date, like to hang out, and her dad won't let her fucking leave. So she goes, well, we're just sitting here, Dad, and watch a movie. And he goes, well, I'll be in the kitchen, like a wall away, right? Second he gets there, she grabs my hand, starts sucking my fingers, and I fucking came in my pants. Just, get like,
she
are you
sucked your
just
finger and you
fucking,
came in
he
your
walked
pants.
In the room, she's just, whoa, and I'm like, because I was fucking, wow. I've been jacking off until then. I had no concept. And I remember I made the mistake of telling everyone at school. I'll never forget. I showed up and I told Ty Rodriguez and Ty, and I sat down for lunch and Ty's like, guess who came in his pants at Shannon's house? I was like, oh man, you fucking dick. And then I think that's where I got my sense of humor, because I had to fucking, you have to defend that in a weird way. Right. So you can't be the guy that's a stud. You're the guy that came in his pants.
So by that girl sucking your finger, she gave you a career in comedy.
Probably. Man, I was cool up until then. Like, I was fucking stud. Shannon, what's her fucking last name?
You gotta find her on Facebook.
Oh shit.
There's this girl I used to date that every time after sex, like when we're spooning, going to bed, like I always have like one arm underneath her head and the other arm she always wanted me to put in her mouth, like to suck her tongue. And so she would sit there and I found out that she liked it best after trial and error, that she always liked it better like on the nose. Like so she would suck my thumb until she fell asleep, and then like I would have like grandmother thumb. You know, where it gets all wrinkly, and I'd be like...
That's some issues, I think.
I know, but it was hot. It was hot, dude. Very it was really hot. Whoa. It's like, oh, she's my little baby.
Meanwhile, I know your fucking fingernails are not clean.
Well, she made them clean. Yeah, my thumb, like, if you looked at my thumb, it was always the cleanest one.
Oh, that's so nasty. That's so nasty.
And then sometimes, like, we would drink, like, you know, like, cranberry vodkas or whatever, and, like, I would have, like, a stained thumb, and it was kind of embarrassed, because you can't really wash the stain of the cranberry off of your thumb, so you would walk around with a red thumb.
Well, you know, do you know that guy, Julian Assange from WikiLeaks, the guy that's in trouble, and they want to export
can I be honest with you?
Sexual assault?
I don't even know what WikiLeaks is, but I know the story. I don't know any of this.
What's really crazy is this guy released all these documents, but what they're getting him on, what they're prosecuting him on is having sex with a girl.
Right.
He had sex with a girl with a condom on, and then while they were sleeping together, he apparently stuck it in without a condom and was fucking her without a condom. And she charged him with, it's like sexual surprise or surprise sex. Like, for real, it's not rape.
That's a real thing?
Yeah, yeah, I'm not even joking. And this is, like, literally why they're making this guy, like, live in house arrest and constantly have to check in. And that, I mean, it's the ball busting of him for this one thing is extraordinary. It's, like, it's really confusing, like, how much they're going after this guy. But it's really not about that, of course. It's about the WikiLeaks organization.
What's WikiLeaks?
WikiLeaks is an organization that they got a bunch of documents from someone who's in the army. And a lot of it was like very controversial, And it's just horrible shit. Like one of them, they put out a video called Collateral Murder, and it showed these guys that are in these helicopters, these fighter jets, whatever the fuck they were shooting from. I think it was a helicopter, and they're shooting on civilians, and they're shooting on they think that these people have guns, and in fact they have cameras, and they open up on these people, and they open up on these people that were putting kids in their fucking minivan. And when they hear that they had kids in the car, they go, well, shouldn't have been bringing kids with them anyway. Like, that was like their response. Like, you shouldn't have been bringing kids. Like, it's not that we had to cut them down with these fucking 50 caliber rounds. No, it's that they shouldn't have been bringing the kids in the first place. What are we going to do? It is what it is. Shouldn't have been bringing kids. I mean, it's like their glee in being able to take these people out like video games.
And these are U.S. soldiers?
And then they put this video out, and it was, you know, really controversial. People saying it's terrible for morale. It's this, it's that. It shouldn't have been released. And then it turns out that there's a fuckload of documents, all kinds of shit that they didn't want to have released. And this kid had gotten a hold of this stuff and passed it off to WikiLeaks. And this kid is still in solitary confinement.
This kid's not Julian Assange.
No. Okay. He's I forget his name. He's a Avery? What is his name? Let me see. I'll look it up.
So then the U.S. government decided to go after WikiLeaks,
yeah, exactly.
And then just basically fucking combed through this dude's life.
Yeah, Bradley Manning is the guy's name. He's still in, I believe he's in solitary confinement. I think he has been for years.
Fuck.
I think they caught him and they just stuffed him in a cell, and that's it. It's really scary shit.
Julian Assange is the dude who leaked it. Is the website
Julian Assange is the guy who ran WikiLeaks, and he's the guy who leaked all this information.
Okay.
What was really crazy is that after he leaks the information, then this sex charge comes up, and they want to export him out of the country. I think to Norway, when they have these crazy sex laws, like they have different, you know, there's people have weird laws on rape.
Yeah.
You know, there's some feminists that believe, and I've read this and had to go back and read it several times just to really wrap my head around whether or not I'd heard them right. Then the statement was that they believe that if a woman has been tricked by a man and deceived by a man into having sex, then that's rape.
And that's every girl I've ever had sex with.
Yeah,
right? every girl.
I mean, isn't that amazing that you should have the right, if you feel deceived after the act, after the voluntary act of intercourse, have the right.
Like if she just thought you were a good guy.
I mean, but to call that rape is crazy.
That's insane.
That is deception. But the sex was voluntary, so it cannot be rape. And just because you feel bad about something that you were coerced into doing that wasn't illegal.
Yeah, what if you come really fast?
That's my whole point. I told everyone I'd be good at it, and I've never been good at it.
See, it's not illegal. It's sex. Rape is illegal. So you can't make sex rape. You're turning it into rape. It wasn't rape.
Yeah.
You were tricked, yes, but it was sex. You had voluntary sex. Like, to call that rape, that is – anybody that would even think that that would be an acceptable idea is an anti-human. That's anti-human.
I'll go as far to say that, like, I believe – I mean, if you have me to put it down, I believe that rape is when a man assaults a woman and makes her do something, makes her have sex when she does not want to.
Yes.
And I do believe there is a gray line that where date rape is involved. I do believe there are guys that force it, and the woman's saying no, but they do it yes. And I believe there's also a gray line where women are drunk, too drunk, and guys take advantage of them. I'm a dude. I've been around dudes my whole life, and I know that's happened. I've had friends that have done that. And they, as they walk you through the night, you're like, sounds a little rapey to me. But the truth is, I mean,
as they walk you through the night.
Yeah, you're like, ooh, you did what? And you're like, all right, maybe I should report you. So, but I do believe that, this is not the subject I ever want to talk about, because it's I went to college when the word rape became flip-floppy, and like chicks were saying they got raped when they genuinely didn't. Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, the word rape was a buzzword, and so women were using the word rape, like throwing it out there.
Right.
And then I think right after that is when comics got a hold of the word rape, like Sarah Silverman, and made it a joke and took it. That's why I love Sarah, man. I'll fucking always love that chick, because she took things that I think I would joke out about with my friends, and as a woman, said them on stage. And I thought, yeah. I was like, fucking gangster, dude. Like, yeah, that's the way to fucking roll.
She's definitely gangster. She's funny, man.
She should be a Supreme Court judge. Whatever she says is right. That should be it. Like, there are women. I mean, well, I don't know. Fucking, what am I talking about?
Well, it's human beings have to have their shit together in order to be able to judge people. And it's been pretty obvious that the system that they're judging people under right now is just so flawed and fucked up. And no one's saying that it should all be dismantled. And that's what's going to have to happen. We're going to have, they would have to dismantle the whole system to make anything fair. You know, Supreme Court justice, Supreme Court period. All your crazy fucking laws, Jesus.
Man, I heard
a big honeycomb of bullshit.
I heard Chris Rock say something one time that kind of fucking that redefined everything. Man, I've had like things redefined for me within the last few months. So big, man, like so big. We were talking about ego. My ego is that concept of ego, I've never understood. I fucking now understand. Mm-hmm. But Chris Rock said something about, was Saturday Night Live racist? I don't know where I heard it on. And he was saying, no, it's not racist, but there is a shorthand with that two white guys have that a black and a white guy don't have. Like two white guys like Lauren Michael and, say, Chris Farley, there's a shorthand that they have that a black kid is not born with. And when I heard that, I went,
what? What do you mean by a shorthand?
Okay, like, have you ever gone into a meeting with a bunch of white dudes and you just kind of, you understand them? And like, or like when a guy goes, man, how about that fucking Diaz fight? And then all of a sudden you and him have a shorthand. You go into a meeting and you're like, oh, we have something in common. We can talk without, we know each other without having to
get to know each other.
Right. And dudes love doing shit like that. That's why they play golf together and stuff, right?
Exactly. And white guys love it more than any. I mean, black guys love it too. But what happens is your shorthand comes from the people you grew up with. Mm-hmm. Like, I know white dudes who are in fraternities. Like, I don't even need to fucking say a word to them. I can tell you what they do. I can tell you how they act when the cameras aren't on. I can tell you everything about them.
Right.
But black dudes, my shorthand is based on like pretty much like the dudes I partied with in New York. Like, cause I just don't know brothers.
Right. Right.
Like, and like I know like Godfrey, Artie, Tony Woods, that night with Tracy Morgan. Like those are that's my shorthand.
So I see what you're saying. So you're saying that there's that. White guys on Saturday Night Live have more connectedness.
Right. They all went to Harvard. They all went to college. Right. They're all into comedy. They all had the same comedy upbringing. Like, they all had parents that's probably either divorced. Like, they're part of the system.
Right.
Lauren Michaels being the head, but Chris Rock was saying, as a kid from Brooklyn, his shorthand wasn't there. So when he met Lauren Michaels, he didn't know the... Like, I mean, ultimately, you know, it's like... When you meet a network executive, I kind of know what to say and what not to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how to act. I know to wear a collared shirt if it's right, and I know not to. Because I'm white and I've had to deal with white men my whole fucking life.
Mm-hmm.
Like Chris Rock never – if he dealt with a white man, I'm guessing this is speculation based on an interview. But it was like it was a cop or a judge. Like, no, I'm not saying he never got arrested. But you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
when he saw white men, it was from a different place. His average black man was like a dad or a friend's dad.
Right.
Those guys aren't running Saturday Night Live or running heads of business. That blew me away. That concept of racism not being how people act, but just being like as common as a shorthand. Like, you know, like... Mm-hmm.
That's very astute of him to point it out that way.
He's a fucking genius, man. That guy blows me away. Consistently, because the way he sees life, like I was talking to one of his contractors, and he was like, this contractor was like putting a window in his house. Now this is the difference between me and Chris Rock. The window was $20,000 that he's putting in his house. I'm sure I'm not supposed to be talking about this.
Why are you doing this?
Yeah, why are you doing it?
I'm telling you,
your ego's out of control.
Is it my ego? Yeah.
Is it?
No. Yeah. Anyway, the window. It's an interesting story.
Okay.
So he puts a window in. It's $20,000, and the guy goes, "Hey, look, I'll comp you the window. I'll give you the window if you let me." Fucking put you on my TV show or whatever and like show that I'm doing Chris Rock's house. Chris Rock's like, man, if I show my family I'm putting in a $20,000 window into a house, they're going to want to stay in that house. Like, I can't just fucking put that on TV.
Right.
And I was like, well, I fucking put that shit on TV because my ego would come in and be like, fucking bam, let's show everyone what I make.
Why were you saying before that you're having a problem with your ego?
Just am, man. It's genuine. I'm going to ask you to go back probably 15 years and try to connect to yourself then. Okay?
Okay.
Because you've done a lot of work, I think, on yourself that a lot of people haven't done. So you know when people just go, when people just say like, they just show up to a bunch of comics and they're like, everyone's like, hey, what are you up to? And he's like, oh, I got a sitcom on this, I got a sitcom on that.
Yeah, and then
you just, you, I was saying to Brian, you just casually try to slide in what you're doing casually. You're like, oh, that's so cool. I know Brian. Yeah, I'm doing a thing with them. Like, and then, and that to me is fucking, it's so unhealthy. It's
like, the, like, it's like self-bragging.
And like, it's so unhealthy and it so disconnects your heart. This is what I've been thinking. Disconnects your heart from humanity.
Right.
It, 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 what it does is it puts your brain in it, because your brain starts talking to your heart going, hey man, we're hurting. And your brain, and your heart's like, why? He's like, because you heard what he's doing. He's doing a bunch of shit. You're not doing shit. And he's like, well, then fucking start talking for me.
So you, you hear other people talk about the stuff that they're doing and you want to pump yourself up? Is that what you're saying?
Like, you almost have to do a better hand at cards. Like,
you try to one-up them.
I had a conversation recently with a friend, and he's a nice guy. He's a comic. And I ran into him and I said, hey, what's up, man? And he just went on this embarrassing run about some development deal and this. And if it doesn't go out, I have a buyout and da 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 da. And they've said that this is their number. And I'm like, whoa, really? Like, you know, and then if that doesn't work, hey, I got to develop. And it just went on. And I'm like, man, hi. I'm but like, he good to see you. You happy?
Yeah. Because your heart's connected to him. This is going to sound just
can bear I get with some me. Celine Dion music in the background?
No, stop it. Don't do that. Don't do that. Your heart's connected with him. When you said, how are you doing? You were genuinely asking. See, his head was connected to you. Well, this is Joe Rogan. He's got this going on. I need to prove to him that. See, like, he probably left that conversation going, that went perfect.
I think one of the nicest things. Hey, easy.
Do not put Celine Dion.
Don't do it.
We'll start fucking kicking your dick under the table.
I'd like doing a lot of different things. I don't want to have my whole entire identity connected to one thing. You know, whether it's one thing in my life, whether it's one thing in what my occupation is. I just think there's a lot to be gained in flexibility, and you know. And in being able to do a bunch of different things and not having to rely on one, I've been able to like not have to define myself. You know, it's like, this is what I do, whatever the fuck I do. I do what I do. You know, like to worry about the world of comedy or worry about the world of MMA or worry about, I just do my shit.
But yeah, but that's you, and that there's that you are not the average of people.
Yeah, but I think everybody can do it.
I think everyone can do it. I totally believe that. I heard you talking, I was in Europe, and I fall asleep. I listen to this show when I sleep. I play it all night long, and I just have it on repeat, so I hear it all night long. It's one of the greatest things. If you don't already do that, I'm telling you when I say that's the greatest way to fucking listen to podcasts, because you feel like you're hanging out with friends, and they're in the other room, and you're safe. And I get lonely on the road. It's even better when it's you on the podcast, and you hear. I heard me talking to you, and I was fucking.
Right.
I was like, oh, and I'm in my own dream with you, and I'm like, fucking, this is awesome. So, but there's no like I was listening to you talk about ego, destroying ego with drugs, with getting into the tank and getting rid of your ego, and I was like, man, and I started thinking about ego, and I was like, where is my ego? And then I just saw myself fucking arguing with people. Like, not arguing, but being argumentative, being difficult, just about ego-based shit. Like, someone would say, this guy was a great host on this show, my crew. And I'd be like, in my head's going, fuck that guy. You're better than him. But I have not even. Yeah, and so I've been doing a lot of work on my ego and trying to, like, I did it in front of Ari last night. Play it. I'll fucking own this shit. I saw Ari last night.
When you say you're doing work on your ego, what do you mean? Like, what are you doing?
I'm biting my tongue, and I'm letting myself feel the fucking disgusting feelings when you get when you feel like a innocuous statement is directed at you. Like last night, this is a bad. I don't even want to fucking use that example. Never mind. I'm not going to use that example because that's a fucking really bad example. But Ari saw me fucking bite my Ari. I started to brag. I started to say something to brag. And then I stopped myself out loud, and I went, I'm not doing that. And Ari goes, what? And I go, I'm not saying what I'm about to say, because it's a fucking stupid. This is stupid. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be more connected to people by my heart and hear what they're saying as a human, just like when someone goes, hey, man, how what are you up to? As a comic, you hear that, and you're like, what do I have to? Oh, I have this going on. Not like, oh, my kids are good. They have a violin recital tomorrow. Like, not like real shit.
Right.
You know?
Well, you know, I think as a human being, when you have something that's your occupation or something that you're obsessed with, I think you build up a lot of stress when you're pursuing something, and a lot of that stress can be evacuated physically. And that's what a lot of people aren't aware of. Like, I goof around and talk to people about yoga and goof on yoga people. But yoga is like a brilliant way of managing your emotions and your body and the idea, the word centered. I hate crystal talk. You know what I'm saying? My yogi, I'm going on a retreat. There's a cleanse.
That's a fucking t-shirt, by the way. I hate crystal talk.
It drives me nuts. I hate it when I know that it's, you've accepted this new age ideology, and there's a lot of yoga talk that goes along with that.
Yeah.
But yoga as a practice is a brilliant practice. It's fucking hard to do, man. There's people that you're working out. Oh, you're doing yoga. That's not working out. The fuck it's not, man. Yoga's hard. Some of the worst ass kickings I've ever had in jiu-jitsu was when I did yoga in the morning and then did jiu-jitsu at night.
Yeah, because you're beat.
I'm fucking beat. You know, I did it I could fucking do yoga in the morning. I'm not even going to be tired for jiu-jitsu. The fuck you're not, man. Some of those poses are really difficult. And they're designed to, like, wring all the stress out of your body. And they humble you. You walk out of there. When you have to go through physical exertion, like to the point where your body's failing, that is very humbling, you know?
And then when you get a speech at the end, that's what I love about yoga, is you get into child's pose where you're just laying there and they talk to you. Man, that changed my life.
Really?
Like, well, yeah. I was in a relationship I wasn't happy with. This was probably 10 years ago, right before 9/11 or right after. But it's that area. And I was in a relationship I wasn't into. I did not love her. I didn't even like her. Jeez. And I was drinking a ton. And I was fucking as fat as I am now. But I mean, I've gotten back. But I was as fat as I am now. And one morning I was up and I was just fucking angry and depressed. At like 6 in the morning, my buddy Croy called me. And he was like, hey, do you want to go to yoga? And I was like, fuck yoga. I'm not going to yoga. He goes, it's a good workout, man. You'll enjoy it. Did yoga. At the end of yoga. And I did every pose with integrity. I like did them. I was sweating like a bitch. Laid down in child's pose, and this dude with fucking sleeved and tattoos, cool motherfucker, like just walks around in yoga pants, and he's like, what? And he's talking to Christ. What do you hate in your life today? What bothers you? And just because I'm exhausted. I am tapped out physically. My brain just went fucking Rachel. And he goes, you can change that. And I was like, I can't. It's too hard. And he goes, decide to change that today. Decide to make that decision today, and tomorrow will be better. You do that right now. And I was like, I guess I could break up with her. And then I just heard him go, yes, you can. You can do that. And I was like, I could fucking break up with her. And like the dumbest thing, I was like, I'm going to fucking break up with her. I'm going to fucking break up with this bitch. Fuck this. And I called her right out of yoga class. I was like, it's over. And she was like, what? And I was like, we should go to dinner. Let's talk. Click. But yeah, it was. And I fucking
did
it.
Were you living with this chick?
I was dating her. We were like dated for like a couple years.
But you weren't living with her.
No. And so I fucking broke up with her, literally. And I was like, the whole thing about that one class was like, lose weight, man. I can lose weight. I just know how to lose weight. You just got to work out like a beast. Yeah. Eat healthy. That's the way to lose weight. Fuck a book. So I started losing weight. I got down to 185 pounds. Dude, I was a gangster. Brian, if you pull up my Facebook page, on my fan Facebook page, the Bert Kreischer, where I'm singing on the Joe, you'll see this. I guarantee... I'm almost waiting for your reaction of what you think I look like.
So you got super healthy.
And fucking met my wife in a good place. Fucking fell in love. Changed my life. I'm the happiest man in the world.
And you think it's attributable to that one that yoga one,
to fucking class, breaking
one guy's speech.
That one dude, man.
One dude. Isn't that funny? Like, you know, I hate that expression. The wings of a butterfly can be the first steps in
a
hurricane.
Yeah, there's many wings. I mean, my girlfriend in college also fucked my best friend and gave me the clap.
What?
Yeah, so that.
What?
That, yeah, I know. So come that's on, part
talk,
of.
Talk to me. What is this?
She fucked my best friend. When I was in Russia, she was fucking my best friend.
Oh, my God.
Who had the biggest dick in the world. Like, how I knew know? That. Because he was my best friend.
Wow, your best friend fucked your girlfriend.
Yeah.
It happened to me in high school. And then they went to my graduation, like, with his family. Or with her family.
Brian, go to my pictures. I know you're on my Facebook.
Yeah.
Go to my pictures on my fan page where I'm singing on top of the Braves.
Oh, right. Dugout. That's it?
And you'll see... that page. And then just scroll through and you'll see one of me shirtless. Okay. That you'll go, are you fucking kidding me?
So, so this was the wings of the butterfly. This turned you into...
One of the many wings of the butterfly. You know, you have a few.
Uncomfortably dumb.
But this was a big one.
I don't know, Brian. What were your wings?
My wings?
This is the gayest fucking podcast ever!
What is my wings?
Like, give me some moments where you went, well, this is what I do for now on.
I'm real good at committing to shit. Like, what if I like to do something, I'm real good at, like, throwing my entire brain at it and becoming obsessed with it. It's probably not healthy. It's probably, like, a lot of success, I think, and this is my belief about, like, athletics, that a lot of success in athletics comes down to almost like a psychosis. You know, like, there's, like, at a real high level of anything, there's a certain amount of almost crazy behavior to get to this incredible position, like a Michael Jordan or Muhammad Ali or, you know, any like elite Mike Tyson in his prime. And there's a madness, you know, and I, from the time that I was a kid, I was involved in martial arts. So it was like a choice that I made when I was like 14 or 15. And that was a choice that I was on until I was like 21. You know, but when I realized that I had to stop fighting and stop teaching and just do comedy, I was talking to a kid. His name was Jonathan. I wish I remembered his last name. But we were open micers together about 6 months into comedy. I was still dabbling in it, and I still had my feet in all my other worlds, trying to find my place. And this dude who I'd done open mics with for like 6 months goes, "You were really funny in the beginning, but man, you just kind of petered out after a while."
Really?
And I was like, wow. And I couldn't even say anything because I knew he was right.
Oh, he was accurate?
Yeah, I couldn't say anything. I couldn't say anything because in my head, you know, like if someone says you don't work hard enough, my instinct, you know, is always to go, fuck you. But I know as a person who's, you know, benefited greatly from very uncomfortable criticisms before. Like some of the biggest growth moments you can have was where someone just knocks your dick into the dirt and lets you know what the fuck is up.
Great statement.
And then you step back. And so I recognized early on to be able to step back and objectively assess when challenged like that. So when that guy said that, I wanted to go, that's a dickhead thing to say. Cause you know, he was my friend.
Yeah.
But I was like, he's right. So I couldn't say anything. So I said, this is it. Fuck this. I'm a fucking professional comedian. I'm not having one foot in the door. I closed down my school. I quit my job teaching at BU. Yeah, I was teaching Taekwondo at Boston University, and I had a school in Revere at Nautilus Plus. That's Bert Kreischer, skinny yeah. Bert Kreischer. Dude, you're a fucking animal.
You saw the picture?
You look like a jiu-jitsu student.
That's when I met my wife.
That's incredible, bro.
Dude, I can't.
Bro, you look like a stud. You look like you could choke somebody.
I was a fucking monster, man. I
let you get double underhooks on me. Look at you.
Look at that. I was a fucking gangster. If you want to see it, it's on my Facebook. What's my Facebook page, Brian? Do you know that? I just don't know the name.
No, I don't know what the name is.
Is it Bert?
Just type his name.
Just go to my Facebook page. Hey, like me while you're there.
Why don't you just put that picture up on your mirror and fucking get up to it?
I'm trying hard. I'm really trying hard.
Dude, you could do that.
I'm trying hard, man. I'm not even fucking around. I have my Fitbit. I try to stay around 20,000 steps a day.
You have that crazy thing you carry around.
I got the Fitbit scale. Have you got that yet, Brian?
No. Explain to people if they don't know what the Fitbit is.
I want fucking money, Fitbit. Do you hear me? I talk about this thing all the fucking time.
I don't think they have any money, dude. It's only you using it.
It's me and Brian.
And Tom Segura.
Yeah, but I bet they're not updating it as much.
They're getting a lot of walkers. Nah. Out of the three of us, we're like fucking paraplegics. So I got this Fitbit. This Fitbit is fucking... It counts your steps, your calories, your flights of stairs you walk. It's the best thing. You put it in your pocket, you just walk around with it, and it just keeps you active. It counts your calories at the end of the day.
So did you have a butterfly moment that caused you to get a Fitbit? Fitbit.
You know what it was? I got to be dead honest with you. Is I bought it, and I was kind of like, I was like, oh, this is kind of neat. And then I brought it here. I guess I brought it here.
Yeah.
Or to the other studios. And I had it, and Brian was like, oh, I'm going to get one. And then Brian got one, and he emailed me, and he was like, hey, I'm following you on Fitbit. That moment, I was like, fuck, I can't let Brian be here. And I swear to you, I started like, and then all this, there was a Desk Squad page, I guess.
Yeah.
And they were all like fucking, and I was like, I can't get
caught. Why don't you guys do this? Would you both be interested in getting in shape?
No. 100%. Brian, why not? Brian, let me tell you something. I'm going to be really honest, Brian. If you don't get your life in order now, you're going to fucking pay for it when you're 39.
Yeah.
That's only a year away.
I know. That's what I'm talking about. Start it today. Like, I'm trying to fix my life health-wise now. Like,
well,
like,
that's certainly good because, you know, it's going to end. Yeah. The last years, you know, depending on how much you're poisoning it now, depends on how well it's going to work in the last year.
Poison feels so fucking good,
though. Which poison feels good for you?
All of them.
Poison. The alcohol?
What I'm else? Trying to cut. I'm cutting my drink has been cut back a lot.
Yeah. What else?
That's it.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, people listen to this, Joe.
Oh, that's right.
You're not a fucking real podcast. You're fucking this podcast.
Yeah, those other podcasts are pussies.
I can fucking talk. I can say I go do some podcasts, and I'll be like, "Fuck, I'll tell you anything you want." No one's hearing this shit. Right. I've done podcasts where I've said things. I was like, oh, "That's fucking bad."
Well, I don't think that. I think any podcast that gets on the internet, it's gonna. But you know, in this podcast, you can't.
I've had
back
panic
up.
Moments on this podcast where I talked about shit, and I'm like, and then you lay in bed, and you're like, it's not like this is Joe and his friends listening to it. This is Joe and fucking a lot. Okay, let's do this, okay?
And you just let it swing.
Let's do this. Let's celebrate.
And you have another bottle?
I have another bottle.
I thought you were on a diet or something.
I'm on a diet. Champagne doesn't count. The
hiding behind the iron.
Champagne's like party stuff. The reason.
Like party stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. Girls drink it on Sundays at noon.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
They do. They have mimosas.
Yeah.
So this is what. This is what we're celebrating.
Okay.
And I say this in connection with what I was just saying. And I've said this to you a number of times. I've said this to you so many times that I have stopped saying it and I've thought it a lot. And it's the reason I don't call sometimes when I want to thank you. But this podcast has been life-changing for a bunch of us. I think a lot of us that have done this have been fantastic. This has been one of the greatest experiences of our lives, of our professional careers. And because of this podcast, your boy wrote a book.
You wrote a book?
I got a book deal, son.
Wow, that's nice. Awesome.
Yeah. So
man.
I got a book deal. It's coming out in a year, and it is because of this podcast.
Wow.
And it is like one of my coolest life achievements ever. It is something I'm so proud of. It is something I will dedicate this next year to more than anything I'm working on that's, you know, obviously not like, oh, is that my book editor going, don't talk about it yet. So, but I got to thank you, man, because I got the book deal, and the only reason I ever had interest in doing a book is because of this podcast.
Well, you got a book deal because you're an interesting dude.
Yeah, but there's the a lot only of reason I got the meetings. You know this better than anyone.
It's because you're you, man. You know, look.
But the meetings showed up because people heard this podcast.
Well, I appreciate that. That's beautiful. It's awesome to hear. But it wouldn't have meant anything if you weren't talented.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do see that. I appreciate that because I've said this to you a number of times, but man, distinctly, this, the whole reason the whole thing came up is this fucking podcast. Like, I went to New York and people had heard this podcast and they were like, hey man, I heard that machine story on Joe's podcast. Can you do a book? And this is that from your podcast, that tape got passed to all the book editors.
Another way of looking at it is, how lucky am I that I get to be on a podcast with guys like you who have such great stories that make people want to tune in and listen again? So
because your ego's in check. That's fucking really sweet of you to say, Joe, but I will genuinely
toast. It's not that it's sweet of me to say. That is 100% how I feel. I think we're all real lucky. You know, this podcast has been a lot of fun. It's we got a connection with people that we never thought would take place, you know, and I respect it. And I know Brian respects it. And I know the people that go on the show, we're all aware that this is really cool. We're all aware that we have
really
like,
cool.
We have like, it's like the impact of like a regular show. And yet you could just film it out of my fucked up office, you know?
It's a bizarre. It's like showing up to San Francisco when the first dude's like, hey man, can you guys keep a secret?
Yeah. It's fun. You know, and the connection with people. Look, we did a show last night at the Ice House and it was fucking amazing. It's incredible. The place is packed. We sold it out on like one day's notice. You know, we just said we were gonna do a show there. And it was mobbed with the coolest fucking people. How badass was that show last night, Brian?
It was fucking awesome.
Amazing.
Best audiences ever.
Wednesday night, a late night show too. We did a 10 p.m. show. Didn't even get started till like 10:30.
Dude, we're totally changing that whole entire Ice House. We're bringing that fucking club back because I mean, a lot of the comics last night said like Doug Benson. I used to love coming to the Ice House, but then something weird happened and just like it started getting kind of different and it wasn't that fun to go to anymore. He's like, but like tonight. He's like, that was one of the funnest times ever.
These are the best crowds we've ever had ever.
Yeah.
It's almost like hard to believe. You would assume that, you know, you don't think that people have different crowds. You don't think that people like bring, you know what I mean? You feel like, well, Chicago's different than New York, and New York is different than San Francisco. But what's changed recently for us is that everywhere we go, the crowds have been amazing, like really nice people, like really enthusiastic. And you got to go, how the fuck does that happen? Like, how can you pull that off? Like, no one ever thought that there was a formula for doing that. No one ever thought that there was a formula where you could go and ensure that you would have a huge percentage of the population that kind of thinks along the same way that you think. Be nice to people. Be generous. Cool.
But think about the way you think, though. Can you imagine you found those people? Like, when you go, hey, the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, they found each other. Well, no shit. Like, can you imagine that a bunch of people that are into DMT mushrooms, MMA, fucking spiritual, like, vitamins, being healthy, like, all those people just showed up at once, and you're like, shut the fuck up. Like, and love comedy. Like, love good fucking friends, good stories, enjoying each other. Like, there's a camaraderie that is this network.
I think everybody likes good comedy, man. I think unless you're a cunt,
yeah,
you like good comedy. Unless you're like, guys don't funny. Unless you're one of those assholes.
Some people enjoy bad comedy. Like, some people enjoy comedy that's not good.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everyone that I've ever heard on your podcast, I don't think there's one exception is a comic that I would fucking pay to see.
Yeah.
Genuinely. That's a large statement.
Yeah.
Like, when you had Dom Herrera.
Yeah.
That's like a...
He's so awesome.
He was on last
night. He's not Olympus, but he's like one of the gods that deals with like traffic or whatever. Like, he's one of the fucking 12 gods.
He's a great comic.
His podcast I listened on repeat when I was in Boston, because I was in Boston and I was like, oh, I'm going to bed. I'll listen to Dom's over and over. God, man.
He was on Tuesday too.
He did Tuesday too?
Yeah,
he's did a Tuesday. Fucking monster, man. Yeah. Like, everyone. You couldn't name one comic. I will go this far, is that I've become friends with the majority of people that have done that are regulars on this podcast through this podcast, like Joey Diaz,
right,
Duncan, Brian, Ari, like, those are my friends, and my life has expanded exponentially friend wise. Like, that, just to have those guys in my life, you know, to have Duncan at my house the other day in the man cave, we're talking about fucking Duncan shit. You know how Duncan's brain works, and you tell him something, and he goes, oh, what you're thinking, it's not that, it's this, and it's
right,
from the Carl Jung book. Like, there's like, and then you're like, oh, you want a cigar? And he's like, fuck you, we can smoke cigars in here? Let's do it, let's fucking do it. You know, like, I hear his voice in my head sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, and to have Ari and like to have all these people in your life.
Yeah.
Dude, come on.
Yeah, we're very fortunate, man. We're all very fortunate. You know, it's been really interesting. It's like, I always, you know, we tried to do some stuff before. We did like these little things called Joe shows, where we did videos of everywhere we would go.
You calling out Jenna Jameson about being a whore?
No, I did not.
Yeah.
Oh, why do you say doesn't that?
That was an Joe show.
That is not me.
Kevin Booth show.
Jenna Jameson is nice. I've never called her out for being a whore. How dare you?
All
right. She's a nice lady.
Okay.
Where'd you get this from?
On the internet.
You're confusing me.
No, I swear to God, Joe Show. You ran into Jenna Jameson on the Joe Show, right?
No.
No.
No, wait, no. Seriously.
Who knows? Or it was Jenna Jameson explaining to me
how
to eat pussy.
Oh, maybe that's...
She's teaching
maybe.
Me.
I don't know.
I wasn't calling her out
or
anything.
I don't know, man. I don't know. All right.
Jenna Jameson's cool. We like Jenna Jameson.
Yeah, she's very cool. She's a very nice lady.
Hey, I like Jenna Jameson.
You know, she was... not her, but Ginger Lynn was on... Dave Attell's show last night. I did Dave Attell's show, Dave's Old Porn. That's a fucking fun show, man. Really? Have you ever done it?
No.
Why do you laugh? You could do it.
Yeah, I can definitely do it, but it's like Dave. It's Dave Attell. You know, it's not like he's calling his buddies. He's calling you, Stan Hope. He's calling his friends. He's not going to call. He's not going to do a casting call for it.
Oh, but I think he would love to do it with any kind of comics.
I mean, I'd love to do it with Dave, but and I that
don't
would be
put
like
yourself a, down like
you
that.
And Dust Bennett.
No, but I mean,
it hurts my feelings when you go down on yourself.
Yeah,
Birdie,
guys, I don't
Birdie, sweetie,
cue the music.
But anyway, you know, just to be sitting there with Dave riffing on guys getting coke dicks, it was really fun. It was really fun, and then. Ginger Lynn came on. She watched her videos.
Old school.
Weird. Yeah, she's one of the originators. The Mount Rushmore of porn, she's right up.
So if you could do a tour, right? Dream tour. No money's involved. You and three comics. Three of your equals. Not like you can't bring Joey. I'm not that Joey's not your equal, but I'm talking like three fucking big name draws. Who would it be?
I wouldn't do that.
Oh, but I mean, you have why, to. Why let's pretend that? You have to.
You have a gun pointed at your butthole.
If it's like guys that I would want to work with, I would love to do a tour. Okay. I would love to do Stanhope, yes. Norton, me, and who else? Oh,
Jesus.
And
Attell. Joey Diaz.
And Attell. What a fucking monster yeah. show that would.
Yeah, Attell and I have talked about doing some stuff together. We should totally do that. Me, Attell, and Stanhope would be a lot of fun on the road, too.
Oh, and Louis C.K.
Yeah. Well, Louis way busy, man. He's so super successful right now. He's so busy with his own stuff. I don't think he has time to do anything.
Louis
like that.
Busy redesigning the entertainment business.
Yeah, man. I mean, the fucking guy produces his own comedy special, changes the whole game. Everybody, including me, following suit now, produces his own fucking show, edits on a laptop, directs it, writes it all. I mean, I'm not asking that guy to do shit. I sent him an email, asked him to do the podcast. He said he would someday when he gets time, but, you know, I'm not pushing it. That guy's busy as fuck. I love having a guy like that out there. I think it's very inspirational.
Fuck yeah.
He inspires me the most out of any comedian. And not even like material-wise. If I had to choose between the guy that makes me the laugh the hardest, it's Stanhope. Stanhope's new fucking CD Powerful. Before he turns a gun on himself, it's great.
I'll put this up there. Patrice's last CD was great, but Patrice's Hour Special, Elephant in the Room, uh-huh. was fucking awesome.
Yeah, that was really good.
And Stanhope's CD, I bought it myself. I purchased it as a consumer, and I fucking listened to it, and I was laughing out loud. Now, it's not what my wife likes, but I was like, I got to test her. I got to bring her in the room and let her hear this track, because it's that fucking funny.
He's a monster.
He's in town right now. Or is he? Or he was yesterday or Dave.
Yeah, oh, that's right. He did Dave's show. Yeah, I gotta call him up. He wants to fucking get behind Gary, whatever the fuck his name is, the guy from New Mexico, former governor of New Mexico.
Man, there are some Stanhope stories that I tell. Here's, yeah. You know what, something was really crazy? I was sitting with a group of, I was sitting with a group of chefs.
Gary Johnson, sorry, that's who Stanhope wants to get behind.
I was sitting with a group of chefs at a restaurant called Campanile on La Brea. And they were talking about food. They're talking about this great restaurant on Fairfax called Animal. Have you ever been there?
He was just talking about it.
Apparently, yeah. it's like
the best.
I've never been there. I'd love to go. Oh,
it's amazing. They have everything. They have like veal brains. They have it's kind of expensive though. But
I'd heard it's great. So they're talking about like gossip about food and what good food places are to eat. And then I said to them, I was like, "This is really cool. It's like being in the green room of a comedy club and listening to a bunch of headliners talk about what comic I should look out for." And they were like, "Well, what comic should we look out for?" And I was like, "That's a fucking horrible question. So I don't even know who you guys like."
Right.
Like, and then one of the guys goes, "We love Doug Stanhope." And I was like, "I didn't see that coming just because they're in the corporate world." You know what I mean? And I was like, "Really?" And they're like, "Man, his last special." And we talked.
Well, who likes to be in the corporate world?
Some
How many people.
People
are in there that are enjoying that?
Not a lot.
That's just where they're at. They're stuck. You know, that's a... What a shit existence.
I would never...
The weirdest thing about our whole society, our whole culture, is in order for it to work the way it is right now, where you can go to a store and buy a fucking soda and get in a car and just turn the key and drive it, someone has to do some shit that they don't want to do. Everywhere.
Someone's got to take it on the chin every fucking morning.
Just, I mean, you got to recognize that unless they can figure out how to make robots that do everything, and then even that, are you really going to find a guy that wants to program that robot to do everything? Or is it going to be a job that he has to do? That sucks. I mean, there's no way that everybody could live the life of Bert Kreischer. It's not possible. Someone's got to be out there huffing it, Bert. Ditches need to be dug. Right?
Yeah. Someone's got to dig a fucking ditch. I mean, I genuinely look up to those guys who build fences sometimes. Because I go, like, I'm not shitting on my existence at all. I'm not saying that I have it hard. But sometimes I do miss my family. And I go, man, like, I don't have a choice. I have to go to Scotland for 2 weeks. It's a great gig to go to Scotland for 2 weeks or go to Italy for 2 weeks back to back with 3 days off. But it does suck. You miss your family.
Right.
And some days you look at the guy building the fence and you're like, man, he sees his kids every fucking morning. And he's like, and no one gives him notes on his fence. Like, hey, man, you got to, like... Like, do it this way a little bit.
Are you getting that for your show? You get notes on, like, what to do?
Oh, of course. All the time. I mean, yeah.
Is it annoying?
No. You know what? I should write a book about how to get through the corporate world of television. Like, not famous television, but making television. And just be cool with it. Because I get it, man. I totally fucking get it. Like, I get when they go, we need more information. I go, I'm not the... As, despite the fact that...
You're not making comedy, though. The grossest thing is when you're making comedy and you get the notes. Like, it was way easier for me to, you know, to have a bunch of people that had a bunch of different opinions on how something should be done on Fear Factor than it would be if they were trying to deconstruct my stand-up. You know, when you start, if you have done a Comedy Central special, did you have to go over your material with them?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Not well. I had to do it. I had to do two. The first one I had to do, Pat Buckles. I had to go over it with her. Like, she read it back to me.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Fucking, and I'm about to go on stage and not one laugh. Like, silence. Because I'm not going to laugh at my shit. She doesn't understand it.
Of course. No laugh. Why would she laugh at you?
Yeah, Pat Buckles is a nice person, but she just was like, she was like.
Part of the groove, though.
I never forget. Her first thing was, all right, so let's do it. My name's Bert. I know you're thinking hot, sexy name. Bert. And I go, yep. She goes, okay. Where are the bitches at? Right? Is that you? I go, yep. All right. We're going to take bitches out. Can you change that? Sure. All right.
Like, whoa, just she wants real, to change where like, the bitches at?
Just real, like, it was, well, but it was real, like, going through it, and I was about to go on stage, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And
so Barry Katz, were like, none of that's funny.
And Barry Katz is the whole time is arguing behind me going, he wants a lav mic. He wants a lav mic. I go, no, I don't. I want a fucking microphone in my hand. He wants a fucking lav mic. Can you get him a lav mic? I go, Barry, I don't want a lav mic. Bill Bellamy wore a lav mic, and he killed. What the fuck about Bill Bellamy? I got
Barry Katz your manager at one point?
At the time, he was.
Fired him, too. That's weird.
I fired him in an elevator.
How many guys have fired him?
A lot.
Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
Did he? Was he your manager at one point?
No.
Didn't he, like, owe you money or something?
Yes.
Or?
Yeah, he owed me money for a long time. He was, he owned a company that was called,
Boston.
I think it was called New York Comedy or Boston.
New York Entertainment.
They got in a hole and they started owing people money from, college gigs. But he paid me eventually. You know, but it took a while.
He's not a bad guy. He's,
you know, I don't know if I would say that.
I'll say it. He's not a bad guy. I definitely am not going to be my manager right now, but
everybody's fired him. Who else fired him? Think about Anthony Clark.
His list of being fired Nick DiPaolo, is fucking
bad. Dave Chappelle. Jay still has him, right?
Yep.
Amazing.
Yep.
Does Dane still have him?
Nope.
No.
Dane fired him.
Whoa. Yeah. No way.
Dude, I tried.
Cook fired Barry Katz.
Yeah. We talked about it. Joe, we talked about it on a podcast.
We did?
On the Ice House when Dane came in to talk about it. I was
thinking about myself. Not paying attention to him at all. I tend to blank out too when you start talking about Barry Katz. I just go,
oof. He's not a bad guy. The what were we talking about? Oh yeah, so that was how I did my Comedy Central special with Barry going, he wants to wear a lav.
Why is he doing that?
I have no idea. I get to the fucking. I tell him 100 times.
So he just decides that you'd be better off with a lav mic.
Looks better with a lav. You should have worn a suit.
I love your impersonation.
The face. I actually do. I actually do a better impression. I do a really great Barry impression. If you know Barry, I do a great one. Like if you've worked with Barry, because like Brian, so you be me, okay?
All right.
And okay, so and this. Wait, fuck off. So wait, this is exactly how real Barry works, okay?
Yeah.
So Brian, tell me about your podcast. Okay.
Wait, what are you doing, Brian?
That's Chrysler's head.
No. The point is he listens and he never speaks. So you end up telling him more than you'd ever want to tell anybody. So he just nods like, okay.
Well, you know, you need to turn that shit back on him.
I was a child. I was
don't
fucking
just fill,
a
don't
kid.
Don't fill the air for him. Just stare at him. And go,
he did give me the best fucking advice. He's given me the best pump up speeches and the best advices of my life that I never took.
Like, what would that be?
The best advice he ever gave. The first development deal I got was I was doing comedy 6 months. He was like, "Can I give you some advice, Papa?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Hold on for a second." And then he just goes, disappears in his office, and comes back, and he's like, "Get information, don't give it." And I go, "What's that mean?" He goes, "Exactly," and hangs up. I'm like, "What the fuck?" And
well,
basically,
that's
saying,
how a manager should handle things. Yeah. Be mysterious. Yeah. Indirect.
And he basically was saying, do not tell anyone you've got a development deal. Just listen. I wish I did that. I wish I had done that because I made a bunch of enemies, like starting in comedy because I was like, I was trying to fix a six-figure development deal. And everyone's like, but you worked the door. And I was like, I know, isn't that crazy? And no one was like, congratulations. Everyone's like, fuck this guy. So I wish I'd listened to him, but I didn't. I'm not a give information kind of guy. You know what I mean, Joe?
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty fucked
so
up.
So why'd you have to why'd you fire him?
Because he didn't get me. He didn't get my sense of humor.
Yeah.
Like I did a prank call. He got purchased by New Wave Entertainment. I did a prank call to New Wave one time. Where I just called in, and it was their like voicemail for the entire 500 people person company.
Right.
And I went, and I was like, and it was like, if you leave a message in the general mailbox, and I hit that. And then I go, Barry, it's Bert. I'm fucked up. Pick me up. Barry, I know you're listening to this. Pick up the phone. Barry, pick up the fucking phone. Barry, Brian, I know you're there in your underwear. Grab it. Brian Volkweis. Brian, grab it. Grab it. And then Barry got really upset. He was like, dude, you can't do that. And Papa, I mean, there are fucking adults at work here. And I was like,
what?
I go, it's a joke, Barry. I'm a fucking comic. You got to get that. And he was like, it's not a joke. You were hammered. And I was like, no, it was a fucking joke. Like, do I really think you're sitting by a real answering machine at New Wave? Like, I got so upset.
Is he an AA guy at all?
No, but he is. No. I don't think he is. I don't think he drinks. I know he doesn't.
Is he against drinking? So, like, is he like the Tempe Improv?
He is not for, I would definitely say he's not for drinking. He was never for my drinking. He was never, like, at his wedding, I was hammered and shirtless. I was sitting with Bobcat. With Bobcat, Jeff Ross, John DiMaggio, you remember him? John DiMaggio, Red Giant,
yeah,
and
sure,
guy?
Yeah, yeah.
And like that table, that
where
group
the fuck
of,
is that guy?
Dude, he's still around. He's fucking awesome. Yeah. I run into him so much. So John DiMaggio and I, oh man, Barry's wedding was the best because everyone was fucked up except for Barry, and Barry was trying to micromanage everything. So like he had was just a bunch of fucking stone talent. So me, Jeff Ross, and John DiMaggio go behind the stage to smoke a joint. We all get smoke a joint, and then John DiMaggio goes, "Don't worry, I know how to get in here." And he just opens a curtain to get us to the ballroom where everyone's having the ceremony. Opens the curtain, me, Jeff Ross, and him walk out, and we're on stage with his like Barry's grandmother reading a note, and it was like, oh, and we're high as fuck. And we're like, ah. So then we all go sit down and everyone starts like giving like personal notes, right? I'm sitting next to, I want to say it's either Bobcat or Jeff Ross. And I'm fucking hammered. Like, right, I'm hammered. And everyone's going up and saying special words. Frank Caliendo came up and did like six impressions in 3 minutes. And like,
what?
I don't know. It's his 3 minutes of thunder. He went and did it. And like, every comic's coming up.
This more, is a wedding?
Yeah, I know.
Sounds awesome.
That's fucking, but it was actually a good impression.
Do some time at
Frank Caliendo is very talented. So
really?
People are going up and.
Really?
Dude, I would have loved to have done 5 minutes at your wedding.
It was a fun wedding if you were not Barry. Buddy Hackett's there, right? This gets even fucking better, okay? So, everyone's going up and saying words. John DiMaggio goes up and says words. Jeff Ross goes up and says words. I want to say Bobcat did. I doubt he did, though, knowing who he is. I'm sitting in between him and Bobcat and Jeff, and one of them starts going, "You should talk." And I was like, "What?" I'm like, get on stage, say something. Total dick move, right? I should not be speaking at all, right? Talk, say something. So I get up on stage, grab the mic right when they start playing the voicemails from Australia from his wife's family who can't be there.
Oh.
So I just talk over all of them. Like, it's really great to be here. And they're like, "We miss you, Susanna." It was a fucking nightmare, right?
And you kept talking?
Because I'm so fucked up, I can hear a thing, right? So the fucking, I get off stage, Buddy Hackett gets on right after me. They're still playing fucking voicemails, right?
What?
Buddy Hackett gets on, he's more fucked up than I am. And there's a piano that's humming going, Buddy Hackett in typical Buddy Hackett voice goes, "Turn the fucking piano off." And they're like, and everyone laughs. And he goes, "I'm being fucking serious. Turn the fucking piano off." And everyone laughs even harder. He goes, "Do it or I'll fix it." And everyone laughs even harder. He throws his drink on the piano, right? Electric piano. It goes, like we see sparks. Smoke comes out and the place falls on the ground laughing, right? Buddy Hackett goes, "That's what I'm talking about." Everyone applauds. It is awesome.
Wow. Barry, he threw a Buddy fucking Hackett drink on an electric piano.
And Barry had to pay like $25,000 for the fucking piano. So at the end of the wedding, Barry's like, "Oh, fucking worst." Just cavalcade cater to shit on shit on shit. It was a great wedding. I would.
How much did you have to pay for the piano?
I don't know. I'm fucking the way I tell a story, $25,000, but probably $5,000.
Wow.
It was a Beatles cover band.
Great story.
Buddy Hackett's a badass, and you fucked with him, Joe.
I didn't fuck with him. Buddy Hackett got mad at me.
Buddy, I saw
I didn't
that.
Even respond to him.
He's a gangster.
I didn't respond
this
to him
whole
at
time.
All.
You fucked with the gangster.
I guess I did. He's a apparently was a very angry dude.
Yeah,
he was a nice guy. I met Buddy a few times. I liked him a lot.
I was on the first season of Comics.
I watched it on my couch, Joe.
Yeah, fascinating. It was like, really, this guy was clearly stealing material. I never heard those jokes. He was like yelling at me, "You're a fucking asshole!" And I was like, "Wow!"
But you handled it like a gentleman.
It's because he was a guy who stole jokes. That's a guy who stole jokes. But a guy for sure.
Well, yeah,
when a guy responds like that, exactly, that's how they did it. But when a guy responds like that, there's only one reason, man. I mean, psychologically speaking, why would you be so adamant about the idea that, you know, that this guy wasn't a thief and that, you know, you never heard those jokes before? Like, what are you saying? Like, you know, you and then the other chick who was there was like, he made him his own. He made those jokes his own. I was like, wow. It was Monique. She was like, yeah, you made those jokes your own. And I was like, whoa. I was like, you made him your own. Wow.
Yeah.
it's hilarious.
Last Comic Standing was not the yardstick for
it. And by the way, the judging, this was a Barry Katz show, too.
Oh, yeah, it was.
And by the way, the judging was complete, total horseshit. It didn't matter. There was people that we voted for that didn't get in and people that we didn't vote for that got in. They had decided, the producers all got together and decided how to put people on.
No, I remember I did Last Comic Standing too.
Remember Drew Carey walked off? He was a judge. And who else
Dan did? Natterman, because of Dan Natterman. Dan Natterman's a very funny comic, and he should have won, but he just wasn't castable. Like, he wasn't one of the guys they were looking for.
That's so ridiculous.
Yeah, tell me.
There are ideas of who's castable and who's not. You know, it's so funny whenever you get a bunch of people, like, I'm so used to doing the podcast where there's no one telling us what to do, but to watch, like, Dave Attell do a show yesterday, and the guy's like, can you sit up? Can you move this? The guy actually asked me, can you push your right pant leg down a little? And I was like, why? Well, it's kind of puffy in that one spot. I'm like, oh, my fucking God. There
that's
you go.
Fucking
like,
insane.
What kind of weirdo micromanaging? You're looking at puffs on pants, but that's how they do it, man. That's
what's
what,
their job?
When you're on a show. Yeah, exactly. It is their job. When we're on a show and there's like 5-6 different people all yelling instructions and all trying to piece this thing together, it's way less harmonious than you piecing it together on your own. You know, the less is more.
Yeah.
You know, with any, like, do you feel like that with your show? Do you ever feel like with Birth the Conqueror, like, man, I should take the reins on this bitch and just figure out how to do it myself?
I
do you ever feel like that?
I do, but I feel like I would fuck it up.
You would
like I don't know, like I don't know if I could say this forever, but I will definitely say this for right now. The people I'm working with right now, and I'm not talking about my own production company. I'm just talking about executive wise. Executives, the ones I'm working with, really seem like they know what they're doing.
Yeah, you have a good crew. It's like the UFC.
I have a fucking really good crew. And so what they're doing now, and I'm not doing Birth the Conqueror anymore. I'm doing a different show.
What are you doing now?
It's called Trip Flip.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's such a good idea.
It's a fucking...
What is it?
It's a great show. We go and we fucking take people on vacation, like a fucking ridiculous vacation. We
really?
Show them how to vacation.
Like
we tell them, like, we go to, like, the Mall of America, or we'll find them there. We go to the Mall of America and we go... who wants to go to Mexico? And people go, I do. And we go, great. I'll show you what to do in Mexico. I'm taking the Cabo, and I'm not going to make you go stay at the resort. I'm going to take you, and I'm going to show you real cool shit to do in Cabo. So as a viewer, you watch it, and you go, shut up. I can go fucking Baja racing? Like, I can do that for the day? I can ride camels on the beach to a tequila tasting?
Wow.
Like, we show you the coolest shit to do in the cities.
It seems like the most ideal fucking job ever.
For,
you know, imagine that. You get the best vacations every show.
We were in Cancun driving Lamborghinis, Ferraris, and Mercedes 140 miles an hour on open fucking roads.
Whoa.
Because we found, and you'll find it too when you watch it, the company that has paid off the Federales to let them fucking drive these cars 140 miles on open roads.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's Mexico. I mean, that's, you know, the way it works. They teach you on a track. You got to run a track for the, like, half the day, and then they take you out to Tulum, and you can just air these bitches out.
Have you seen that video online of the guy in a Mercedes or
Lamborghini?
He goes sideways around a corner and
sandwiches in between.
Do you think that's a fake video? Like, and I think it's a fake video.
It can't be.
Really?
Yeah.
No, it can't be.
Why do you think it's fake?
Because it's one of those videos that's like, one, why is a guy just I don't know, recording.
The people do that. People
I know,
do
but
do that all the time.
And then it's just like how it was placed. People do
stupid shit.
Like he was barely going fast, and he loses control. Did you notice that? Like he just kind—he wasn't going like super fast. He just like kind of sped up fast. Like how did he lose control of his Lamborghini that bad? And then when how it was placed in between the two cars, it's like, all right, this is some kind of weird fake video. Like who's behind it though? Who knows? Like Lamborghini.
Well,
maybe,
I would say you probably got a good point, but Lamborghinis are notoriously hard to control. Yeah. That's a four-wheel drive car, too. Yeah. That's a funky car.
They're really hard to control.
Yeah.
Especially because it's all like paddle.
I might not be. See, that's the Gallardo, the one that crashed.
Right.
And the Gallardo, you can still get him with a manual. And the guy, you know, he might have like overhit the gas on a shift, or he might have went sideways. And not,
Joe, did you want any champagne?
Sure, I'll have some. And he might have had to it might be real. But I agree with you. It does look weird.
It's
suspicious,
yeah.
Physics,
I just
right?
Saw it. It's weird that you said it, because I saw it last night for my first time, and immediately I looked at it going, how did he just lose control that fast? So that it wasn't that fast. He wasn't going that fast.
Well, it doesn't matter when you're going around a corner.
Yeah.
You know, especially
but if the streets how it was are placed. Wet,
yeah. It's, using street tires.
Yeah.
When a car gets out of control, there's no fucking bringing it back.
It's hard. Just a little bit. It's hard. You have to know how to drive. There's a great video of two guys in Corvettes, and there's a guy behind them who films it, and they're in Sugar Land. Not in Sugar Land. The Woodlands, I think, in Texas. One of those. And they take off at the light. One guy fucking completely loses his control, T-bones the other car right in front of him. And it's a real video. That's super real. Because the guy that watched the video, all right, let's see what these assholes do. You know they're going to race.
Yeah.
And he got it. That guy's going to be filming everything from now on. Oh, what a great thing to catch on film.
And here's another thing to always think about when you look at these videos. It's like, you know, the majority of people you know, like I'm a little different. If I were to have filmed it, it would be a little different. But the majority of people you know, when you're in a car, you're filming, you use your iPhone, you're steering, you're doing all this shit, when you're going around a corner, he was really good with making sure he caught every single thing that happened while he's driving and filming. And it was just too good of like, okay, yeah, you got the money shot. Where in reality, it was probably like this phone would be flopping around, looking at fucking ceilings and shit.
That's a very good point.
And it's like you kind of forget that. Yes, it's filmed on a shitty camera and it looks realistic, but the money shot was recorded perfectly. Everything was recorded a little bit too perfectly. And as somebody that does that kind of shit, it's kind of like I know what the reality is. If this is just some guy filming it, he would have been filming his girlfriend's crotch. You know, like it would have been just like.
Yeah, whatever. Maybe.
Brian, if that had been you, you would have gotten the shot perfectly.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of yous out there.
Yeah, you got to realize this guy is a guy who's filming things, you know.
Well,
by having a guy who's like, you know. Who knows?
Who knows, though? But like,
was it supposed to be the guy driving that was filming?
I think it was. I don't know. I saw it last night, so I don't even remember. But some guy showed it to me at the show last night.
Yeah, there's a lot of douchebags out there driving like that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cars out there that are super powerful, and they're getting more powerful every year. That's what's really nuts. Every time, like, Lamborghini has to put a new car out, they're going to make it more powerful. You know, last year was 500 horsepower.
$600,000 was the car I was driving.
Jesus.
I mean, you can't. Like, I tried to explain to the people we were driving it with. They were younger. I was like, this is a once in a lifetime experience. This will never happen again. And at that age,
become a super baller and start buying up them bitches. What kind of car was it that you were driving?
The fucking $600,000 one.
It's a Lamborghini.
Yeah,
Murcielago or the Aventador.
It was black.
Aventador.
It was black.
I think the Aventador is the new one.
Had the paddle.
Yeah,
the paddle shifter.
The sound those things make.
It sounds like demons. I heard you, and I want to say that by osmosis, you know, like by listening to you enough. I don't know if you've said this about cars, but I did say this on TV, and I definitely – I could hear you in my head saying it. The car barked at you.
Yeah, like a lot of people say that.
They would fucking – I could hear it barking at me, and I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
I love to hear it.
Those are manly sounding cars.
Fuck.
Lamborghinis and Ferraris have some of the sweetest tones, like the exhaust tones.
God, man.
Yeah, there's like videos on YouTube where people just have Lamborghini exhaust notes. It's It's got that crazy. I think they have like some of them have V12s, right? Doesn't the Murcielago have a V12?
I'm a horrible host because all I knew is that it barked at me. And it was black. Those
are fucking beastly cars. But they're there's so a Michael stupid.
Vick dog in between my legs.
It's like, why would? What are you doing with that crazy thing?
Really? In the States, what are you doing? Because you can't drive it over 100 miles per hour. Like, you'll go to jail over 100 miles an hour.
Will you really?
Yeah, that's what they were saying. The guy that started the company in Cancun was saying, I had all these cars, but I was in the States and I couldn't use them. And I came down to Mexico once and some guy said, you know, yeah, if we pay off the Federales, you can drive whatever you want.
Why did he have all these cars?
Because he was rich.
Wow.
And so he decided, as a business, he decided to take all his cars that he wasn't into or not driving, send them to Cancun, pay off the Federales, and you can just take them out for the day. I mean, you got to go with like, You got to go in a group. You can't just. It's not like you just get a Lamborghini to air out. But it's fucking fun. I've never driven anything 140 miles an hour.
Yeah, racing cars is fun. It's got to be very addictive.
Fucking dude, all the time
you get your body to go faster than it's supposed to. It's, you feel the G forces when you're going around corners.
And we were going around corners at 70 miles an hour. That's fucking seven.
Yeah.
Like, put that in perspective. What you do on an interstate, I was taking corners at that shit.
Yeah, that's pretty
good. And you make your real face. Like, there's no cool face when you drive a car that fast. You make your real face like that. That, like, I did this. Like, I go, because that's what I do when I do that speed.
Did you feel the rear end sliding on you at all?
Yeah, because it was raining.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
For the morning, it was raining.
You have to be careful of with a car that's got that much power, too, when you stomp on the gas. You know, like that stupid car that I have, that Shelby, the Mustang.
Yeah.
Every time I hit second gear, you got to make sure you don't stomp on the gas too much, because it will get sideways on you in second gear. It'll give you a little...
Yeah, Bert Kreischer can drive this car. I doubt that, you know, the odds that that guy in that video, you know.
Yeah, if I can drive that car, that guy should be able to fucking do it.
Oh, you say that, though, but a lot of people buy cars and they don't necessarily know how to handle them when the ass end goes out on them.
Yeah. You know? I would not be able to recover that car.
It's hard, man. It's hard. And sometimes you don't want to let go of the steering, or you don't want to let go of the gas either. Sometimes you have to power oversteer. You have to fight it with the throttle. You know, you have to keep your foot on the gas, because if it snaps back, if it like catches grip, and then, you know, while you're already in a turn, like you can get fucked.
We drove.
It depends entirely on the car too.
Yeah, those cars are meant to be driven like that.
Like Porsches are notorious for, like, they have a rear weight bias because they have like an engine in the rear.
Really?
So like when you're going around corners like sideways, you're dealing with the physics of this engine hanging out back. It's like 60% of the weight is in the ass end of the car.
So, you know? So if you had a friend who came to you and was like, man, I just got my big deal. Oh, I want to buy a car. What's the one car would you get?
It depends on what kind of a person he was. A
single dude.
Yeah, but is he an animal? Is he
redhead?
Is he a calm fella that, you know, likes a comfortable car?
No, he's, you know who he is? He's Dane Cook, because I'll never forget the conversation you had with Dane when Dane talked about his Maserati that was a lemon. I'll never forget that.
It wasn't a Maserati. I think it was a...
Bentley?
Aston Martin.
Aston Martin. Yeah. So, like, if you could go back in time and give Dane a car to pick up, to buy, for like, hey, man, this is your first, like, this is a treat.
If you want a really well-engineered car, you can't go wrong with a Porsche. They're just so well-engineered.
Except your first Porsche that you had. That
was hung to shit.
Yeah. Was that 411?
911. 411. 411.
Porsche 411. Information?
It was called a 996. 996
six, turbo. It, was it a 611 where you just called AT&T?
Yeah, that's when you want to find out what you owe. But yeah, I had one car that I had five problems with it in 2 years before I got rid of it.
Big, I liked your car after that. Problems. You had the best car after that. I wish you still had that car.
Oh, the Acura NSX?
Fuck yeah. That was like a fucking Matchbox car. That was so cool.
It's a dope car. They're coming out with a new one, you know. Oh. Acura is ready to make a new NSX. I think it comes out in 2013. But they had it in the Avengers. Remember the car?
Yes.
The car that he gets in? That's the
new NSX. That was a prototype. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
See, you know.
I know that shit. Uh-huh. I know that shit. Jaguars girl cars? Because I saw a Jaguar convertible the other day, and a girl was driving, and I was like, damn, that's so beautiful, that car.
Why does it have to be a girl car? Jaguars are awesome.
Nick Sporson's got a beautiful Jaguar.
Yeah. Right? They're super powerful, too. The new ones, they have these the XKSs, I think it is. They have, like, some beastly fucking cars now. They're great cars, man.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I would tell most people, I would say just get a well-engineered car. Just don't really want a race car or anything.
I'll tell you what the best fucking car around right now is, in my opinion, dead serious, like for the money, what's the Genesis?
The Hyundai?
Hyundai Genesis. Oh,
the one that looks like a Mercedes.
Dude, yeah, it is incredible. Fucking car. Yeah, it's amazing. Hyundai Hyundai puts out a great fucking car.
Well, especially this one. This one, they've basically taken all the design elements of Mercedes and Lexus, they're the like best cars, and they essentially made the same kind of car. It's real fucking similar. Ooh. And they do... it's
gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a great car. I mean, it looks like a Mercedes.
It looks like a Mercedes, and it's got all the shit a Mercedes got. It just doesn't have the, like, whatever the thing that makes it a Mercedes $90,000.
Well, it's very high-end, they said. They said it's very comfortable to drive, and they're really reliable cars, too. You know, the thing about Hyundais is it's not like it's a shit car.
Yeah,
you know, they're reliable cars, just as much so as any other car that's in that price range. But
that's pretty nice. But like
$34,000 in comparison to
visually wise, I don't think it's anything special.
Well, neither is the Lexus. Look at the Lexus LS460, I think it is, the new one, whatever it is. Beautiful car, but real sedate. It's all about luxurious transportation in those cars. Like a Lexus, those cars are so quiet and peaceful.
I love
it's like, yeah, if you're into that, man, I'd say get a Lexus. Those Lexus four doors are like the most relaxing comp. They absorb bumps. They're not handling cars. It's not a car you're gonna go around a corner and hit the gas and get a fucking good feeling in your balls. None of that.
Gary Valentine, when we were working together on the X show, had a green Lexus, and his whole thing was you did it with us.
I remember.
Yeah. And he had a green Lexus, and his whole thing was how silent it was. Yeah. So we got the car one time. We're members at a country club called Robinson Ranch. Me, Gary, and I think his brother and a few other people. So one time we get into the car, and he just shuts the door, and he looks at me. He goes, "Bertsky, how fucking quiet is this car?" And he goes, "Pretty quiet." And he goes, "It's pretty fucking quiet, right?" And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Put it in drive. It's not all fucking totally drunk." Fucking Gary Valentine, I miss that motherfucker. Do you remember Mike Burton?
Mike Burton. What would I remember?
Mike Burton, a comic from L.A., hung around the improv store. Now he teaches Krav Maga.
Oh.
But Mike Burton, this is my favorite Gary Valentine story. I know that, I mean, you got to have Gary on one time.
Would love to.
God, he's fucking funny. So one time we decide, where we do the X show, we wrap on Thursday, and we decide we go to Formosa to have drinks. And I say to Gary, I go, "We should go to Vegas." And he was like, "Let's do it." And we look at Mike Burton and which one's that?
Mike Burton.
That's Mike Burton, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
You know Mike Burton. Yeah, so we go to him and Scott Henry and go, "Let's go to fucking Vegas." And Mike Burton goes, "Nah, I don't want to go." I'm like, "Come on, Burton, go." And he's like, "I don't want to go." And Gary goes, "Fuck you. This is the problem with you. You need to go." And he's like, "I don't want to go. I got a spot at the Hollywood Improv." Fuck the Hollywood Improv. So Gary goes, "Fuck it. You guys work on Burton. I'm going to go back to Santa Monica." He's living with Kevin at the time. "I'm going to go back to Santa Monica and get my shit. I'll meet you at Burton and Henry's house." And we go, "Perfect." So we go. And on the way to Scott Henry's house, we convince Burton. And Burton goes, "Nah, fuck it. I'll go." And I go, "Burton, this is a great idea. Why don't you hang out in the back of my truck, hide, and we'll tell Big Gary that you're not going. And then we'll get on the interstate and we'll surprise him and be like, 'Gary, look, he's coming.' Because Gary's not with us. He's packing his shit." Burton goes, "That's great." So we pack all our shit. We go down to Burton and Henry's house. Burton gets in the way back of the truck, like back where the beers are. And I had an Expedition at the time. And he hides back there. And we wait for like 15 minutes. And all of a sudden, Gary Valentine shows up. He shows up, he's got his bags, he's holding them in his hands, he opens the back seat door, like the middle, opens, hops in, he goes, "Where's Burton?" And we're like, "He didn't come." And he shuts the door and he goes, "Let me tell you what's wrong with that motherfucker." And we're like, and then he goes, "And I'll tell you why he shouldn't be a comic anymore, because he's not fucking funny." And as we drive, we're pulling out, and I see Mike Burton sit up in the way back, and Gary talked for like 10 fucking minutes, just talk shit about him.
Oh, my God.
And all of a sudden, I go, "Hey, Gary, would you mind passing me a beer out of the back?" And he turns around and he goes, "Hey, Burton." Then turns back to us. He goes, "When are we going to fucking tell me?" We were like, there was never a good time. Wow. It was the fucking most uncomfortable.
That's so shitty.
Oh, my God.
Oh, never. And they talked. Me and Scott Henry sat in the front. Gary Valentine and Mike Burton sat in the back and talked. Like hashed it out. Like,
how do you hash that out?
Yeah, right.
I think Burton. I don't know if Burton. I think he's teaching Krav Maga now.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's got his own training centers now.
He's a really smart dude.
Comedy's not for everybody, folks.
Krav Maga is Jewish, right?
Yes. It's an Israeli sort of system of self-defense based on a lot of different martial arts.
Slapping, right?
It's like Jewish. What? It's Jewish slapping.
No.
Let me just whittle it down to what I heard it was, okay? Is Jewish bitch slapping.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Well, who'd you hear this from?
Some dude.
Some German.
Yeah. No, Krav Maga's like...
Oh, fuck! From a guy that listens to this podcast that's in my daughter's dance class.
He told you it was slapping?
No. Fuck. Never mind. I wish I hadn't said this.
Backpedaling, Bert.
Fuck.
Yeah, don't.
Settle down, Bert.
No, Krav Maga is a legit form of self-defense.
How am I drunk?
It's mostly, it's like street stuff. Like show you correct applications of techniques in self-defense situations as opposed to like just doing jiu-jitsu or just doing kickboxing or something along those lines.
It's more applicable to like getting attacked.
Yeah, it's all the basic techniques of all the effective martial arts. You know, they go over choke holds, they go over arm locks, they go over, you know, all sorts of different. It's not just, you know, self-defense. They incorporate a lot of different things. It's like a system of, you know, taking like what's the most useful martial arts in a real life situation.
Yeah.
Know? So that's what it is. Which is, you know, there's room for that. I'm personally of the school that, you know, like people say, I've had these arguments with the so-called like street defense people. And they're like, what we learn is how to defend yourself on the street. You know, there's no rules on the street. And in the mixed martial arts dojo, you know, there's rules, and that's all well and good. We appreciate the discipline, but there's no rules on the street. So that's why our sport is different. You know, so they like try to bite you and grab your balls or something like that. But my take has always been that the most effective techniques aren't the techniques that work on people who don't know what they're doing. And all the techniques, almost all of them, that you see in so-called self-defense courses, they only work if people don't know what they're doing. Like all the grabbing hands and pulling, and you ain't grabbing my hand, bitch. You know, I'm going to be a wild cat. We got some crazy shit going on right here. You're not grabbing me and just holding on to me. That's nonsense.
Yeah.
And so when I see any of that self-defense nonsense, I go, there's a reason why this doesn't work. And the reason why it doesn't work is because it doesn't work on a killer. You need everything you need to do, and if you wanted to learn true martial arts, you should learn what works on killers. Learn what works on the best fighters on the planet. Learn what works on Muay Thai fighters. Learn what works on Jiu-Jitsu fighters. Learn what works on a guy who knows how to fuck people up, and he's been training in it for years.
Yeah.
Learn how to deal with that guy. Don't learn how to deal with some dude like pulling out your keys and going for his eyes, because most likely he'll knock you the fuck out before you get close enough to do that.
Yeah.
You know, learn how to do what works on killers. That's my opinion. So I'm not a big believer in self-defense courses. I'm a big believer in martial arts. I think if you want to learn jiu-jitsu, you should learn the type of jiu-jitsu where you know if you get a hold of someone, it doesn't matter. That's it. You own them now. That's your world, and you strangle them, and you get to that point, and that's a beautiful tool to have in your toolbox. It's a beautiful thing to be in possession of.
Marshall Childs was saying that.
You don't ever get that if you're in a self-defense course, because first of all, you're not going to have the amount of proficiency in doing these techniques like knee breaks and attacks to the groin, because you're not really doing them full blast in training against people who are resisting. So a lot of what you're doing, you're drilling repetition, and you might get better at completing those movements, but the odds of you doing it on a guy who knows how to fight is pretty fucking small.
Yeah.
You know, and some Anderson Silva type dude will knock your fucking dome off your neck, and it's that simple. You know, you're never going to get to eye gouge him. He's going to light you up, bitch. You know, it's like, you got to look at it that way, in my opinion. So there's nothing wrong with Krav Maga. It's a good way to work out. It's a good way to train, you know, and it's a very effective system of martial arts.
You worked with Marshall at the Laughing School?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Did he talk to you about jiu-jitsu?
No.
He does jiu-jitsu,
yeah,
like aggressively. I
think we talked a little bit about it.
But he's definitely, he said that exact same thing, that it just was like a nice set of abilities to have in place, yeah. And that he became more relaxed around people.
Yeah.
Because he never felt, because he was smaller, not smaller, right. But smaller, and he just never felt like he could ever get hurt because he knew how to get out of it.
Well, you know, you can still get hurt. You got to always be careful, people. First of all, there's knives and guns and gangs and sticks. And, you know, you can always get hurt. Like, the idea that you're invulnerable now and you can just walk through any bad neighborhood is crazy. You know, but the less you certainly have less apprehensions because you know that you've reached a physical proficiency when it comes to defending yourself that very few people have ever reached. So if some shit goes down, most likely you're going to be fine. Yeah. Most likely this guy's in for some horrible, rude awakening, which most people don't know how to fight or into. If they get in there with a guy who knows how to fight, they're in for a terrifying awakening of what's the difference between someone who spends zero time training how to fight and someone who's dedicated a lifetime to doing it. It's a different. That guy's going to own you, and it's a terrifying feeling to get owned by someone, especially if you get owned in the street, man. Woo! Especially if you get owned in the street and you're the one who started it.
It's like that video of that dude. Oh. Can we see the two kids? Where it's like a Mexican kid with his socks pulled up to his knees and just some white kid in jeans.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, come on. And then the white kid clearly knows like some sort of Asian defense, like starts doing steps and kicking, practice kicking. And the guy was like, no, street fight only. And he was like, no, this is what I'm doing. He's like, no, man, I ain't doing that kind of shit. No funky fights, just regular fights. It's one of my favorite fights. I favorited it on my YouTube page. Like I favorited it. That, but I'm fucking one of the first people to discover Kimbo Slice.
You know, the beautiful thing about being around people who know how to fight is they very rarely get in fights. Most people who know how to fight are fucking pretty calm. They get all that shit out in the gym. You know, you can get all that shit out in a controlled environment. We have a desire for conflict. We have a desire to fucking overcome things. Fuck that guy. There's a desire that all that shit can be erased in the gym. And when you erase it in the gym, you deal with yourself on an even playing field. Instead of being overwhelmed by road rage or overwhelmed by disappointment in your own personal life and existence and whatever frustrations that have been building inside of you, percolating, fucking up your physical existence, because the moment you're in any interaction, you're acting unbalanced, you know?
Walking down the street in the curb just staring at cars.
Yeah.
The fuck's wrong with you? That's a guy from last night.
What was he doing?
I saw him walking in the curb just staring at cars.
Yeah.
Just, what? And I was
he's probably crazy.
Chick was just walking on the sidewalk, and I was like, man.
Maybe they were all methed out.
Yeah,
How many chicks get in street fights with their dudes? Get together and fucking throw down together. Go home and fuck. Does that happen?
Pasadena happens a lot.
Seems like a movie, right?
Yeah. Street Fuck Fighter?
Yeah, something along those lines, right?
I don't know. I can't imagine. I've never been able to with a girl that fought.
Conversation went south hard.
I'm gonna smoke one.
You never been around a girl?
Brian, what's up with that?
You never been around a girl that likes to fight?
No, my wife.
Scariest shit ever, man. Girls that want to drag you into fights, that's one of the scariest things you could ever
encounter. I would imagine you would have attracted that when you were younger, though.
Yeah, a lot of them. Yeah, they want to sick you on people like a dog.
Man, I heard some good behind-the-scenes stories about you that I'm fucking dying to talk about.
Behind-the-scenes
stories? Yeah, yeah, I don't know. It's fucking, why did I say that?
Your ego, dude, is out of control.
No,
it has to do with violence, it's almost...
No, it's not 100%. Nothing about violence. It's about you being a friend to dudes.
Yeah, let's not. If it's bad people, don't talk about bad people.
No, goddamn, I don't know why I fucking said that. Fucking something's wrong with my brain.
Something's wrong with Bert Kreischer.
Let's turn these cameras off, Brian. Seriously.
What's wrong
with Bert? What happened with the weed thing? You can't smoke weed in front of cameras anymore?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you just gotta kind of be sneaky about it.
Okay.
It's stupid. Ustream has some sort of policy. Yeah, we have a vaporizer. We still have the.
Do you feel like taking a hit, Joe?
What, do you?
Yeah, I do.
Well, let's just wrap this bitch up, because you guys came a little late, and I still have to look at that property.
All right.
We'll go with you. Pretend we're your investors.
I'm looking at that.
And Brian and I will just inspect really bullshit stuff.
Let's do it.
Be like, I don't know about the fault lines.
Things that make you go,
Mr. Redman. Things that make you go,
So, next week in the podcast, we got Shane Smith, Bass Nectar, and... the great Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yes, I can't wait.
It should be very fun. Yeah, we'll have a great...
Talk about Barry Katz.
Bob has known Barry since he was fucking a child.
He's known Barry since he was a child?
Bobcat lived in Barry's closet, is the story. Like, Barry had a closet that he rented out in a... I'm sure I'm raping this.
Right.
Barry rented out a closet... in like Boston University or Boston College,
right?
And Bobcat rented it when he was like 16.
Wow.
Yeah, Bobcat's known Barry forever.
Bobcat's another Boston comic. People don't realize, you know, he made it on the big screen, you know, and made it, you know, sort of almost as like a Hollywood guy. But his origins are in Boston too.
And funny as fuck.
Oh yeah, he was
Bobcat's great always been fucking hilarious.
Did you ever hear the CD Meet Bob?
No.
It's M-E-A-T, Bob, and it's like hamburger. It's made out of a hamburger or something like that. He's great. He's great. Bobcat Goldthwait.
I grew up like with Bobcat being a character. It's really weird, like, you know, like with the guy. Like, that's so weird.
Yeah, I wonder if he feels weird about that. I wonder if that's a weird, because like J.J. Walker, like when he got older, would like hate when people would like yell out "Dynamite." He would hate it. He would hate it because he wasn't doing that anymore. Now he's just a stand-up trying to make a living, and apparently he didn't like that when people. That's what they say. I never did it in front of them. Maybe the guy loved it. Maybe one asshole did it. Say "Dynamite." Yeah. Say "Dynamite." And he's like, "I don't like to do it."
Yeah, but that would be weird, though, because, I mean, that's what kind of got everyone to know who he is. That's
yeah, just, but like, after, fucking... like, 10 years, don't you think a man can stop saying "Dynamite"?
I mean, but even worse than that, imagine being Bobcat where you do the, like the.
Yeah.
I worked with him.
He stopped doing that, right?
I don't know. Maybe it's like a go-to thing with a joke, like subtly.
Is he still doing stand-up?
Yeah, he's still doing stand-up, of course, yeah.
Because didn't he stop for a while? He was like directing.
Where's he doing stand-up? He was directing Kimmel. I mean, he directs Kimmel, I think.
Yeah.
And he was directing The Man Show.
He directed...
directed movies.
Dave Chappelle Show as well.
And he did The World's Worst Dad, which is a great fucking movie. Have you ever seen that?
No, but I want to see
it. Oh, fucking, let me tell you the log line.
What is his new movie that he's got coming out?
American Dream or something like that. I'll find out.
World's Worst Dad, Robin Williams plays a dad whose son... dies from auto asphyxiation erotica, and he writes him a suicide note and says he killed himself, so he didn't want to deal with it. And because of the suicide note, the kid's writings become popular.
Wow.
And the dad is doing all the writings, and the dad always wanted to be a writer. It's a great fucking movie. It is a great fucking movie.
His new movie is called God Bless America, and it's very violent, and it just we played a preview of it. It looks awesome. I can't wait to meet Bobcat.
That'll be a fun interview.
Don't drool on him, dude. Don't
no, no, weird. I just want to talk.
Don't touch his leg.
I want to talk about some things with Bobcat.
What are you going to talk about?
I don't know. Past, present, future, ex-wife. You know, all those fun things.
Don't do that, Brian. Promise me.
No, I'm just kidding.
Promise me you're not going to be a problem.
Just kidding.
Too late. Holla. Thanks to everybody who tuned in this week, and thanks to everyone who came out to the Ice House Comedy Club last night. Fucking tremendous show.
Seriously.
It was really amazing. We had a great, great time. It was so cool to be able to do that on a Wednesday night.
Are you doing one Friday?
You know what? Joe, I don't know if we've talked about this or not. I'm thinking about, we should just take over Wednesday from now on. Instead of doing Friday, Wednesday is when all the comics are in town.
Yeah, Wednesday's good, but we can do Fridays too sometimes. I like doing Fridays when I'm around.
Or we keep our Fridays open so we can go out to the Olive Garden.
Whatever, bitch. But either way, we'll be doing more shows at the Ice House. It's a great place, and I got to develop some new material now before my special gets
out. Hey, are you releasing your special?
Online. Yeah, exactly. When? They're building the website for it now. It's going to take a couple months, so probably won't be until like August or September that I'll release it.
Joe, let's go on a mushroom trip so we can get new material.
I don't know if you can handle mushrooms anymore.
Yeah, I can.
Okay. All right, we'll do it.
Just has to be comfortable. Situation. Like a comfortable situation. It can't be at the UFC.
100 degrees in a hotel room and you and me naked.
No.
Wow.
But I know this hotel
room. Sounds like Ventura. A great story, guys. Let's go look at that property, Joe.
Yes. We're going to go do that. We're going to go look at Death Squad West, also known as Higher Primate Studios. Thank you to everybody who tuned in for the podcast. Thank you to The Fleshlight for sponsoring our podcast. And if you go to joerogan.net, click on the link. Click it. Enter in the code name Rogan. Get yourself 15% off the number one sex toy for men. The shirt that Brian is displaying in his image is the Machine shirt.
Oh, please.
I am the Machine, the Burt Kreischer shirt. And you can get that at burtburtburt.com. Holla, support your boy. Baby needs new shoes. Come on, 7. And you can also, Burt, when are you going to, you're doing a podcast soon now?
I started taping it on the road with my bodyguards.
With your bodyguards?
I've been getting bodyguards everywhere I went, so I've been doing podcasts with them.
Because you go for your TV show?
I go to like crazy places so we get bodyguards. But I don't know when it's coming out. It's coming out when I get a little time under my belt. I'm fucking 75 pages due by August 1st on my book. So I'm a little overwhelmed. So I appreciate everyone that emails me and says, start your podcast. I'm working on it. I'm working on everything.
Okay. And powerful, being a parent. Bert Kreischer. You're a fucking savage. God bless you.
God bless you, Joe.
That's it, you fucking dirty freaks. We'll see you next week. Thank you for everything. We appreciate it all. Thanks to Onnit.com, O-N-N-I-T, makers of Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Sport, Shroom Tech Immune. And next week, we're going to launch the kettlebells and let you know what the fuck is up. We're ironing out all the details right now. And that's it. So you see you guys, and goodbye for now.